Head On Radio News, I'm Bruce Birch. The special counsel appointed to find out who leaked CIA operative Valerie Plame's identity apparently knew who the leaker was 2 months after the investigation started. The person leaked the classified information in retribution for Joseph Wilson's New York Times article refuting Bush's claims that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. That person has been named by sources as John Hanna. Hanna was a senior national security aide on loan to Dick Cheney, from then Under Secretary of State for Arms Control and International Security Affairs, John Bolton. A jury and panel to decide the fate of Zacharias Moussaoui made that decision today. 9 men and 3 women decided that Moussaoui was eligible for the death penalty by lying to FBI agents. They decided that one or more of his lies helped cover up the impending September 11th tragedy and led to at least one death. The jury will now decide if he will, indeed, die for his actions. How's that deregulation working out? A new study shows that overall airline industry quality is down from 2004 to 2006. A co-author of the report says that things will probably continue to get worse. Lost baggage claims, among other things, increased 25% in the last year. Job insecurity can lead to health problems, researchers say. According to the study, those who had less job security self-reported more health problems than those who felt more secure in their employment. The White House purge may be broader than expected. Published reports indicate Treasury Secretary John Snow may be down soon. Close on his heels may be White House spokesman Scotty McClellan. Snow made a fortune as CSX chairman when he sold out the rail line's container shipping business to Dubai Ports World. McClellan's credibility took a hit in his handling of the information related to the Valerie Plame leak investigation. Former UN Chief Weapons Inspector Hans Blix said today that Iran is, quote, 5 years away from developing a nuclear bomb, leaving plenty of time for negotiations, unquote. Blix was correct with regard to Iraq when he asked for more time to verify that Saddam had no weapons of mass destruction. The Bush administration pulled weapons inspectors out of Iraq prior to attacking Iraq in 2003. 10 people died and 38 more were injured when a truck bomb went off near a mosque in northeastern Baghdad Monday. The blast took place as worshippers were leaving evening prayers at the Shia mosque. In Basra Monday, attackers killed 6 people in a machine gun attack on a public market in the southern Iraqi city. All of the victims were members of a Sunni tribe. While Iraq sinks into chaos, the misery grows worse in Darfur. The Sudanese government denied access to UN envoy Jan Egeland as he made his way across the situation to assess the situation in Darfur. The government refused to allow his plane to land or for him to attend previously scheduled meetings in Khartoum. Egeland is the UN Emergency Relief Coordinator. This is News on the Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Ew, it stinks in here.
Passing gas in the company of others is not only taboo, it can be deadly.
I'm gagging.
Passing gas releases a plume of toxic vapors like ammonia and hydrogen cyanide.
Oh, you're killing us over here.
Daddy, you promised you'd smoke outside.
You're right, Pumpkin. Excuse me.
If you smoke, take it outside. Don't pass gas. A message from the American Legacy Foundation and the Ad Council. Get the facts at don'tpassgas.org.
Israeli forces killed a 16-year-old Palestinian boy and wounded 3 other human beings Monday in an attack on a refugee camp in Ramallah. The 4 people had allegedly thrown rocks at the Israelis, who responded by killing them. It's a turf battle with potentially deadly consequences. The Justice Department's Inspector General said in a report Monday that disputes between the FBI and the U.S. Coast Guard must be resolved in order to prevent serious harm to the nation's ability to respond to a terrorist threat. Both agencies have jurisdiction over maritime threats. The report calls for the FBI and Coast Guard to enter into a memorandum of understanding. Former Liberian President Charles Taylor pleaded not guilty to an international war crimes tribunal today. Taylor is charged with destabilizing West Africa through killings, sexual slavery, and sending children into battle. Taylor at first said he Head on Radio News, I'm Bruce Birch.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, good evening. So it's Monday. So it's been a couple of long-ass days. Not for any particular reason having to do with current events or public affairs or anything. I'm jonesing. I decided I got to, you know what, we're all well aware of the fact that I'm not mathematically strong. But I am strong enough to do the math and figure out what a pack of cigarettes costs and multiply that by 365. And I realized that I had something going for me that was roughly the same price as a crack habit. So I quit. And I strapped a patch on. Went down to the Rite Aid pharmacy, and because the brand name nicotine patches were twice as expensive as the Rite Aid brand, I bought the Rite Aid brand. 7 patches for something like $25. And strapped one on and found out that the glue on the things is of a grade slightly lower than that of the edible kindergarten paste. You know, the ones that your kids eat when they're little. Oh, yummy, yeah. Got a minty quality to it. I think they encourage kids to eat paste in kindergarten. I don't know. So, quitting smoking is not easy. And I look on the back of the box of the nicotine patches, and I see the nicotine patch stop smoking helpline. Okay. So, So I called it. I called it on the weekend when I was just...
I bought a cigarette!
Because it really is addictive, and I really, really, really hate the tobacco companies. I'm sorry, I should be talking about something political or world events right now. Condoleezza Rice said the Bush administration's made thousands of mistakes. Then the next day she said, just kidding, I was only speaking figuratively. No, honey, you were speaking literally, whether you realized it or not. And so this is the kind of crap that I'm reading while I'm trying to quit, and I'm feeling like William S. Burroughs sitting in a hot little third floor apartment in Tangiers or something. No, it's not like coming off of a narcotic, but it is. Nicotine is incredibly addictive, and I am now convinced more than ever that the tobacco companies really do manipulate the nicotine. Because otherwise, well, I'm also a cigar smoker. And when you smoke cigars, a little bit later, you're not just flipping out wanting another cigar. Cigarettes, different story. You know, it's like Robin Williams said about cocaine. The problem with cocaine is it makes you feel like a new man. The only thing is, 30 minutes later, the new man wants a line, too. I don't know that I could speak to that, but I know that I know that 30 minutes, 30, 15, 5, hell! I can rip through a pack of cigarettes in the course of the time it takes to do this show, just lighting one off the next. I feel like freaking Tom Snyder or something. So Mick Jagger, tell me, with the cigarette out there in between your fingers and waving it in the air. So anyway, I call the nicotine patch quit smoking helpline. Ready for this?
Thank you for calling the Smoking Cessation Patch Line. Your call may be recorded for quality assurance purposes. If you have an emergency, please hang up and call your doctor, hospital emergency room, or poison control center. After your emergency is handled, please call us back. If you do not have an emergency, stay on the line and we'll be with you just as soon as possible.
That is the Nicotine Patch Stop Smoking Helpline. Because they're never with you. The first time I did it was on the weekend, and I realized that they had a little fine print, and it says, call us anytime, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday. Because nobody in their right mind stops smoking on the weekend, I guess. But I mean, it's like, you know, hello, suicide hotline, please hold. Jesus! And the music! Did you get the music? Wait a minute.
Thank you for calling the Smoking Cessation Patch Line. Your call may be recorded for quality assurance purposes. If you have an emergency, please hang up and call your doctor, hospital emergency room, or poison control center.
Does my doctor emergency room or poison control center have a cigarette I can have?
Bob's having some problems tonight, so I'll be helping out with the show a whole lot more.
But the music was what really crawled all over me.
After your emergency is handled, please call us back. If you do not have an emergency, stay on the line and we'll be with you just as soon as possible.
Name that tune. Yeah, that was two notes. I can name that tune in two notes because I've heard it for about 30, 45 minutes, an hour or so. It's okay, honey. This is a good microphone. You can leave the mic. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you know what that song is? I know what that song is because, well, I am God's prophet of irony. Okay? I'm the only person in America that apparently recognizes that while there are 99 names for God, me and the camel, we know the 100th one, and it is God of Irony. Do you know what that song is? I know what that Muzak version of that song is. That's Please Don't Talk About Me When I'm Gone.
Oh, God.
I'm not kidding. Don't talk about me when I'm gone. Really? I mean, this is like calling the suicide prevention hotline and getting, you know, please hold. And then, Rite Aid would like to tell you about our sale on razor blades. This is just unfair. And the glue, oh my God, the glue on the patches that are so... The patches are more expensive than the cigarettes! Please apply to a clean, dry, hairless spot on the body. I don't have a hairless spot on my body! I'm a human!
No.
I'm not a worm! I got hair! And I sit there and I put it up on my bicep and it's like peeling off and I'm slapping it again. And then when it gets really stressful, I put a hand up there and give it a good rub, just trying to jam some nicotine into my arm.
It's break time, Bob.
Agnes says I should take a break.
Yes,
the hell am I going to do during a break? I don't smoke anymore. Breathe. I'm going to my happy place. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is Bruce Birch, and if you missed my show Sunday night, here's what I got up to.
Apparently, on the right-hand side, on the right wing, the leadership in the Republican Party is not so cozy with the pro-life movement. They say pro-life. That's bull. If they were pro-life, they wouldn't send people to die in battle. If they were pro-life, you know, they would put money into a temporary aid for needy families, TANF, which is an entitlement. If they were pro-life, they would help with creating better pensions for us to live our remaining years in relative peace and serenity rather than having to work until you're 85 years old in order to make a living. If they were pro-life, if they were really, really pro-life, then we wouldn't be in the middle of a war.
Bottom line. Join me, Bruce Birch, for All Things Reconsidered every Sunday evening, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, allthingsreconsidered.org.
On the last Fourth Estate, we heard from Robert Fisk.
What has now become a habit of compromising on the semantics of reporting in order to avoid criticism. You know, if you call a Jewish settlement or neighborhood a colony, you'll be criticized and called potentially anti-Semitic.
And a little bit of activist history and the Red Scare.
On the line with us right now, we have Kate Fossil, biographer of Ann Braden.
You know, I got interested in Ann's life because of her being a white Southern voice against racism. And
leave it to our listeners to ring up and keep it light.
I don't either. And, you know, Bruce is concerned about the remote control for his DVD player. I mean, I'm thinking about getting rid of the remote control on my blow-up doll. I mean, you know.
What's his name?
I never kiss and tell.
FourthEstateRadio.com.
Next one of those damn patches falls off, I'm chewing. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. I'm going to try to get through this. I mean, you know, it's not like this shakes or, but, you know, it's amazing. It is amazing. And really, you know, I can take a cigar, you know, a real cigar, not those floor sweeping crap, have a Tampa, Philly blunts, whatever. And no, a real cigar, you know, rolled on the inner thigh of a, never mind. But it's a tobacco leaf, and inside that there's another tobacco leaf, and inside that there's a whole bunch of really wadded up tobacco leaves. Take apart a cigarette someday. And if you just stop to think about it for a minute, the fact that you can go out and buy a cigarette with 21 milligrams of nicotine or you know, whatever. The measurements, don't look to me for scientific measurements right now. I'm not that guy. But, you know, X amount of nicotine or one-half X amount of nicotine or, you know, ultralights with 0.2% of the nicotine or whatever. That, you know, And there have been trials all across the country with tobacco executives and scientists getting on the stand and, you know, putting their hand on the Bible and putting their other hand in the air. And I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. And they say, oh, well, you know, we don't manipulate the nicotine in cigarettes. We don't have that ability. Well, how the hell else are they producing a cigarette with this much nicotine or that much nicotine? But compare what's in a cigarette with what is in a cigar. They are not the same thing. In order to make a cigarette, if I understand the science or the process or the technique correctly, what they do is they take tobacco and they grind it down to a powder, and then they put a bunch of crap in it, you know, benzene, God knows what, and they mix it into a goo, and they roll that paste out, and they make a sheet out of it, and then they shred that, and that's your cigarette. And that's why it's so ungodly hard to quit smoking them. God rest her soul, my mother smoked Raleigh regulars until roughly 1973, when she had breast cancer and she decided maybe it was time to quit. And she traded her Raleigh regulars, and I mean, she was a smoker too. I mean, used to drive my dad crazy. Wake up in the middle of the night, turn the light on, and have a smoke at 3 a.m. Save those coupons too. Hell, I think my playpen came from the Raleigh catalog. I come by it honest, you see. But I don't think it, I don't know when they started monkeying with the tobacco really seriously. But I know that I have a Jones. And I also know that this country, for all of its, you know, you can't smoke in downtown Beckley. You can't smoke in a restaurant. You can't have a smoke here. You can't have a smoke there. Don't smoke in the bathroom. For all of that crap, nobody is serious about it, because you know what? In your health policy, if you're lucky enough to have health insurance in this country, you will have a provision that says, well, you know, if you're addicted to crack, you can go to the hospital for 6 weeks and get off the crack. Or if you're drunker than Adam's off ox, you can go in it. You can go and dry out for a few weeks in a hospital. I need to be in the desert somewhere, just me and a rattlesnake and a knife, for about 6 weeks, and I guarantee the snake will run from me because I'm such a bastard when I'm jonesing for my junk. Bad word. And yet, you know, oh, sure, maybe your health policy will pay for a package of these patches that don't stick. But they're not, no, they're not going to pay for you to enter the Betty Ford Center to get off your cigarette habit. Oh, no, Rush can chew up the damned OxyContins like, you know, for the refreshing burst of flavor. But Bob Kincaid can't go somewhere and get off the damn Durals. Okay. Oh, and by the way, a very happy birthday to our dear friend Liberal Me in the chat room, who makes our computers go, and I'm so grateful. That was one of the things. So patient with a guy who's jonesing for nicotine. We actually solved a computer problem this weekend, and God Almighty, am I grateful. Let's see. Coming up on 23 minutes after the hour, let's do go to the phones. Our good friend Bob in North Dakota is with us. Hey, Bob, you're head on. Oh, you laugh at me.
Oh, I'm laughing. Oh, yeah, I've been there, done that. 1,000 times I quit.
You're not helping, my brother.
No, I'm not trying to help. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. It's a hard road.
It is.
I mean, it's worse than heroin.
Well, I remember when C. Everett Koop, who was Surgeon General under Ronald Reagan, said that nicotine was more addictive than heroin. I think that's unfair in a way because, you know, you don't get sick and vomit and, you know, just die for want of nicotine, I don't think. But
no.
But it, the way they manipulate it and the way these corporate bastards the monkey with it, you can get hooked.
Oh, yeah.
Like that.
Big time.
But honest to God, I can sit down with a box of the finest Cubans. Nobody gets hooked.
You can chew that red man fit and doggone sink all you want. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can chew all of the vodka until your lip falls off your face.
Well, you know, exactly. Now, I think with the snuff, the, you know, put a pinch between your cheek and gums, the Copenhagen and the skull and all that crap. Now, they monkey with that nicotine, too.
Oh, yeah. It gets straight to your brain.
But when it's still just pure old tobacco, it's a different animal.
Absolutely. But, Bob, we must stop worrying about our own Jones, okay?
Yeah.
And think about the Jones of our nation. I listened to Chomsky today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I listened to Noam Chomsky.
Yeah.
He was up there and he was talking about the Jones of the nation.
Oil? Oil?
Huh?
Oil?
Well, that's just one of them. The other one is power. You know?
Yeah, we do have a taste for that, don't we?
Yeah, we have a taste for power. We love being the most powerful nation on the planet. And we have no... we don't want to kick our Jones, so, hey, let's murder everybody else on the planet. Hey, guess what? People need to listen to Noam Chomsky. They really do.
Yeah, and of course, then... of course, he's, you know, you've got to bust a gut to hear him, because no major media outlet will hardly touch him with a 20-foot battle lance.
Well, there's a whole bunch of progressive people that are trying to get you to listen.
Yeah.
What, dear? Oh, not you, dear. Glenda's talking to me. Oh, Glenda was just reminding me of something. She said, trying to quit smoking is not quite as bad as giving up spaghetti and meatballs. And,
no, okay.
And, you know, kind of, you know, carbohydrates and, you know, all them other things that you just love to eat, like bread and potatoes and meat. And,
I know. My, you know, just in these few days, my appetite is just with...
Yeah. Yeah, well, hey, maybe you'll get bigger than I am.
My friend,
and I mean this dearly, you are my friend, Bob. Oh, whatever you give up for yourself, and you do it for your own reasons, and not, your health, if you give it up for yourself, that's good. But if you give it up for your nation, for those others, the ones that cannot make a choice, the ones that have to take the least of the jobs in order to survive, those, what do we call them? Immigrants and wetbacks and wops and, you know, they called them all kinds of names. They called us spics and they.
Oh yeah, anything to dehumanize.
Yeah, they gave names to people that dehumanized them. Right. Well, I'm going to call you a fiend. You're a nicotine fiend.
Oh, I am. I am a freak.
Okay. All right. Now. Oh, Glenda says I shouldn't pick on you because I haven't quit either.
Well, no. I mean, I know how bad I am. You know, back when they'd still let you smoke in a restaurant, you know, I have a cigarette between courses.
You blow smoke on your neighbor in a minute, right?
No, well, you know, I try not to be that nasty about it, but, you know, okay, well, the salad's over. Time for a cigarette. Oh, the salad, okay.
If you're blowing smoke at a root pig, let me help you. Let me show you the way.
But I get, you know, I guess my next step is I'm going to use some of that duct tape that Homeland Security Director, what was his name? Can't remember anymore. You know, that stuff's at least
wrap.
Yeah, that stuff's at least going to come in handy because the glue on these damn things won't stick. So I'm duct taping it to my arm.
Well, don't forget. forget the plastic wrap. You got to have some of that too. Right?
I'm gonna, but I'm such a heavy smoker. I'm gonna wind up looking like I'm polka dotted with the darn things. One of these 21 milligram patches. You know, that's breakfast.
I love you, boy. You know why I love you?
Why is that?
Because you're dumber than I am.
Nah, just about am.
Right now, hey, Agnes, get out the skillet.
I'm going to need it before the night's out.
Bob, the people of this nation need to listen to Noam. They really do. I mean, I'm not a smart man. I really am not. But I listen to smart men. And you are not a stupid person. But right now,
I don't have any business being behind the wheel of an automobile right now. I recognize that.
Okay. Relax and realize this too shall pass.
It will. You know, I've been, well, you know, this is not the first time I've quit. I've been down this road. I know how awful it is for 3 or 4 or 10 or 12 or 120 days, and then you're all better.
Well, quit taking it over on us.
Hey, Bob, you have yourself a great night, all right?
Love you much.
Love you, brother.
Like
take
Tom
care.
Says, like Glenda says, she loves you, dear. Yeah, she does. She loves your voice. But if you get through it, hey, tomorrow will be another day and a better day.
Yep. Tomorrow's another day that I can't have a cigarette. No, see that negativism? Oh. All right, take it easy,
Glenda,
Bob.
Glenda says that I'm a hell of a lot worse than you ever were. And she ain't never met you. So, therefore, I'm a bigger bastard than you could even imagine.
It can be done.
Wireless dreams.
It can be done.
Son, relax, get through it. Agnes will love you a whole lot more later. But right now, Agnes, hang on to the skillet and don't let him out the door.
Take care, Brother Bob.
Make sure it's cast iron. And take care, Brother Bob.
Later.
Good night.
See
ya. Bye-bye.
Okay, Agnes, you want to take a break or keep rolling? Okay, Jim is with us from Beckley. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
What's happening, man? Are you Jones in the habit?
Yeah, I'm Jones in the habit.
You know, when I was a cadet at the Citadel, I think it was my sophomore year, there was a guy who used to sit at my mess named Lou Perella from Tenafly, New Jersey. You know what he used to say?
What's that?
Any pussy can quit smoking. It takes a man to face cancer. I'm not kidding you.
That's hard.
Well, I'm going to give you some advice here, okay?
All right.
And I told Agnes, go to the Kroger and get the Hall's Mentholiptus cough drops.
All right.
And get the the ones that don't have sugar in them.
Okay.
Now, the menthol or the Lipthus oil will kill the craving for nicotine.
No kidding.
Yeah. You will find that it works.
I may turn the microphone over to her and run down. No, I'm not doing Rite Aid's brand probably doesn't work that way.
Yeah. Well, just call them and see if they have them. If they have Hall's Mentholiptus, sugar-free, or if you like the sugar, you may need the sugar for initially, because all those addictions go together.
No, sure. I mean, that,
so if I were you, I would get that, and, you know, it will kill the nicotine craving.
Well, I hope it does. I hope something does. I mean, I'm okay. I mean, it's just every now and then it's just this weird thing that comes over you where it's like, you know, boy, do I want one.
Well, I mean, you know, you sound like you're ready for the rubber room. I mean, when you were going in, I swear to God, I said, what's going on?
Well, now, you know, I mean, I'm one of these people who believes that, you know, support can help. And so, you know, you buy these things, and in this box there's this brochure, you know, and cut out this card to keep it handy in your wallet, and there's the 800 number, you know, call us, we'll talk you out of the, you know, we'll talk you off the ledge, but only if you're jonesing between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern time. I mean,
I don't think there's any amount of talk that's going to, I don't know what their strategies are with something like that. But as far as the immediate need for the nicotine that you're talking about, then the menthol helps.
Well, great.
I mean, that's one of the reasons they put menthol in cigarettes, because menthol even makes those brands more addictive.
I'll be darned.
Mm-hmm.
No, they haven't missed a lick. I mean,
I mean, they put it. Now, I still smoke, but I smoke about 4 or 5 a night. and I don't smoke during the day, and I don't have the desire to smoke during the day. That's how it is, isn't it?
Well, see, the funny thing with me is I've come to the point where I associate everything with smoking, just about. You know, going down the road, driving the car, sitting here, the cup of coffee. So there's a lot of stuff I've had to eliminate.
Well, you don't need to eliminate all that. You can still have your coffee and still drive your car. You just can't do it with a cigarette.
Well, that's true, too. But, I mean, some things exacerbate the desire. And one of those is, you know, my cup of decaf or, going out and sitting down and drinking a couple of beers is definitely out.
That's what I'm talking about. Basically, nighttime is the time when you normally have a few drinks, and that's when you have a few cigarettes that go with it. And during the day, I never even think about a cigarette. As a matter of fact, if I smell somebody who's smoking a cigarette, it makes me sick. But at night, and this is weird, and I have a drink or two, then, you know, they go together.
They do. They absolutely
do. It's just really odd. And
Well, I think they potentiate each other.
Well, they just go together. There's something, you know, what do they say, a good drink before and a nice cigarette after. What can you say?
Exactly.
I want to tell you something that I heard this morning that it'll turn your, or divert your attention from,
all right,
from your own need there to, it has to be the most ridiculous, most stupid thing I've ever heard on the radio. And it was on the morning Steve O'Brien show, and he said that there's no such thing as global warming, that man is too insignificant to be able to do anything that would create an earthquake or cause a storm.
Now, this is the same guy who wanted to invade Mexico last Friday.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And impact upon the environment. Nothing. And I'm just reading this issue of Time magazine, and it says here, by any measure, Earth is at last at the turning point. The climate is crashing, and global warming is to blame. Why the crisis hit so soon and what we can do about it, by Jeffrey Kluger. And I'll guarantee you one thing, and if you read this...
I've already read it. I have already read it.
Well, then you know what I'm talking about. And yeah. You've seen the pictures of, for example, the glaciers and stuff like that. And
yeah.
How one glacier was a complete glacier in 1928, and here it is. Completely gone.
Well, what I found most interesting was their discussion of tipping points, how one thing will occur and make the next thing even worse.
Exactly.
For instance, the freshwater infusion into the ocean can change the ability of the ocean to retain or give up heat.
Well, I mean, you know, let's face it. If you change to the level of salinity in the ocean, and you're going to have a whole climate change in the northern hemisphere. You're going to have a permanent winter up here.
Well,
because, you know, it's got your, basically, your Gulf Stream is meeting your Labrador Current, right?
Well, yeah, and there was mention in the article of folks in the UK noting that they're on roughly the same latitude as southern Alaska.
Exactly, and I'll tell you, the only reason that Great Britain is survivable, or northern Europe is survivable, is because of the warm currents that bathe those shores, and the salinity is responsible for the warmth that is carried in that current. And that's the reason, as you go further east into, for example, European Russia, that the winters are so much more severe than they are in northern Europe.
Exactly.
And so, I mean, but they were saying there's no such thing, and then another one of his regulars got on there and called and, you know, and started talking about the Book of Revelation and this, that, and the other. And I thought to myself, you know, this has got to be pure idiocy. And where these people's minds are is simply beyond the pale of any understanding that I have.
Jim, this is the product of 20 years of Rush Limbaugh and the rest of that crowd.
He was bitching that Rush Limbaugh said that what he said. And if, you know, I guess if Rush Limbaugh told them it would be okay for them to jump off the River Gorge Bridge and not without a parachute, they'd probably go ahead and do it. You know, they're just like lemmings.
Well, yeah, and see, you mentioned a minute ago, a nice evening cocktail, It's funny that these global warming disaster deniers, all, you know, that's one of the analogies they go to, because they'll say, well, look at your cocktail. When the ice melts in your drink, the level of the drink don't change.
I know. I mean,
but then again, it's the business with the glaciers melting off of dry land. When you add another ice cube, the level does change.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, tell them to put some more ice in it, and it'll sure as hell change. It'll go right over the glass if they keep doing it.
Well, that's like I keep telling.
And how can they be absorbed by the initial thing that you just stated? I mean, how their mental processes can absorb that kind of spurious logic tells me they believe just about anything.
Well, they do. They they believe that the human species arrives from a conversation with between a cave woman and a gossipy water moccasin.
Well, when I heard that, I thought to myself, you know, and I started to call and leave a message on the voicemail down there, and I said, you know, it's not even worth the effort for me to dial the telephone.
Oh, no, it's not. I mean, but honest to God, I got to start recording some of that, because...
You need to. I mean, really, you should hear some of the stuff. You know, it makes about as much sense as what that guy, when I was at the Citadel, said, named Lou Perella. I know, well, God bless him. And the two remind me of each other. As far as the sense, you know, and the rote stupidity of just the comments and the beliefs of some of these people. I don't know. I'll tell you one thing right now. I wonder if sometimes man is the most intelligent creature on this earth. I don't think so.
Most of the time, well, you know, human history is written in blood. How intelligent is a creature whose history is written that way?
I really can't give them very high marks, I'll be honest with you. And, you know, when I heard that, I thought, good God in heaven, I can't believe what I'm listening to. By the way, they have a new stamp out.
Oh, really?
They're having trouble with it. Yeah, it's the George Bush stamp. And, you know, they tried it, and you know, they realized it was cut properly, and they realized the adhesive was on the right side. But the trouble is, they said that they're using the stamp, and the people were spitting on the wrong side of it.
All right, Jim, with that one, we roll on. Thanks, man.
Hall, mentholiptus.
Lozenges.
Cough drops. They're square, and initially with sugar, and then because, you know, you worry about a change in your avoirdupois. So, and then go non-sugar. And Agnes says she'd be glad to run in there and get them now. So let her go if she's willing to go, okay? Because it will definitely make your evening a lot easier.
Okay. Thanks, Jim.
It will kill the craving for nicotine.
I need that. Have a good night, all right, brother?
All right.
Later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, I think we're going to be making a run after the show. Onward and upward, our buddy David from Nashville is with us. Hey, David, you're head on.
Oh, Bob, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you.
Nah, it's okay. We can laugh at me. I deserve this. I got my Jones fair and square.
Oh, yeah, I earned mine, too, a couple of times.
Yeah, 14.
But, you know, it does bring back something interesting to me, a thought. That routine about manipulative tobacco companies, when I first started, for whatever reason, I never cared for cigarettes. I ended up smoking a pipe. But I was inhaling the pipe, and I was, like, really going through that stuff. And it was, you know, American-made tobacco that I could afford. And in no time at all, 3, 4, 5 years, I had a serious problem, and I tried to quit, and it was a failure. I couldn't. I really, really couldn't. I cut way down for, oh, gosh, year and a half, and then just finally had to admit, you know, I'm hiding this. I've got to come out of the closet kind of a deal. But when I started back, I had been turned on to some better European-made tobacco that was really just tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
And I smoked, in terms of amount, about a third less. I mean, about a third of what I used to smoke. So I really think your theory of the American tobacco companies and what they do to it, God knows what they put in it, or how they up the dose, or whatever they do, because after 3 or 4 years, again, I decided I would try to quit, and I expected the horrible outcome, and there was no horrible outcome. I just quit. I was anxious for a day, and it was over. So there really is, I think American tobacco companies really work at putting the barb.
Yeah, they do, and the business, the experience I had, David, with the quit smoke, the nicotine patch quit smoking helpline, yeah, that puts the proof to it.
I was rolling on the floor. I was just thinking, I am so glad that this man can laugh, because there are tombstones all across North America where whoever it was trying to reach the helpline and couldn't stand the elevator music, you know, just said, well, that's it, you know. 3 or 4 days of this, no, it's not worth it. Bang. At least you're tough enough to start laughing and throw humor at it. Kind of like, you know, Jewish people and Cossacks on the steps of Russia ride by swinging their sword. Oh,
well,
you're doing the right thing.
I don't put myself in quite that category, but what in the hell else are you going to do? I mean, when you realize that you are in the middle of one of the biggest national cons that exist, you know, oh, please stop smoking. You know, the American Heart Association, the Lung Association, and their Christmas seals, and the Easter, and you know, everybody's like, oh, please stop smoking. And, you know, and my dear brother Bruce Birch hangs a don't smoke inside your house PSA inside the top of the hour news just to sort of get the little bamboo shoot under my fingernails. And I mean, there's so much of it out there, and yet, you know, your tax dollars and my tax dollars, David, are funding the tobacco industry. Hello?
Believe me, I understand that vividly, because every day in the summer, I can drive in any direction from my little home in north central Tennessee, and I can see, you know, quarter, half acre, 1 acre plot of that poisonous weed. And I know those guys are getting some help. I know those guys. You know, tobacco, the oil industry, if you look at some of the structures, there's not a lot of difference.
No, they're not. They're both corporate welfare queens of the highest order. And, you know, if you ask a tobacco farmer, you know, about those, and bear in mind, from a political standpoint, David, there are Democratic members of Congress who are as knee-deep in the hoopla as any Republican is. And they are, you know, in North Carolina, in Virginia, in Tennessee, you know, in the tobacco producing states, Connecticut shade wrapper. And what happens with them, you know, the farmers say, you know, well, you can't cut off my subsidy. You know, we won't be able to be tobacco farmers no more. What are we going to grow? I got one answer. And your mentioning of big oil and tobacco in the same breath is what brought it to me. The answer, canola. Oh, actually, rapeseed is what it is.
Any of those grasses that you can make, you know, some kind of fuel out of, or, you know, invest a year. Turn your land into something that would grow organic vegetables, for God's sake. Go to a wild oats market this day. You can end up paying $5 a pound for something that, when subsidized, costs a fifth or a fourth of that, but it's so much better for you to eat the stuff that isn't loaded with God only knows what kind of toxins.
Oh yeah,
what kind of fertilizer, what kind of bug spray.
You take that tobacco farmer, and Bruce Birch just noted that he grew up surrounded by tobacco fields in Southside Virginia. You take those tobacco farmers and you let them grow rapeseed oil and put that on the market. And, you know, I don't mind my tax dollars subsidizing that, because that's going to wind up burning in somebody's diesel engine.
If we're ever allowed to really do that.
Right. You know,
that's a perfect trade-off.
You know, you're stuck in traffic behind somebody's Jetta diesel, and, you know, and it smells like French fries.
Or maybe it smells like egg roll. Either way. you were talking about your local talk show host that's so adamantly active about saying that global warming doesn't exist. I guess it's kind of the point of the exercise. It's
yeah.
Just, you know, some sort of an underhanded plot by the rest of the world to take away our ability to be an industrial power. It struck me there was an interesting parallel in this past Sunday's Tennessee, and that's the big paper in the state of Tennessee, two columns in the opinion section, issues section of the Nashville Tennessean, George Will. None other than George Will. The media has done a great job of putting this charade over on the American people. And essentially, it was just exactly what Flimball says. There is no global warming. So the only difference between your guy in Beckley, West Virginia, and George Will is your guy in West Virginia probably isn't getting the money George Will is getting.
And can't
say that nonsense.
And I'm guessing can't write quite so eloquently about the national pastime either. But that's
I would rather doubt it. You know, never mind. He's got that one eye that's quite flawed that, you know, makes funny little twitches and crusty things up one side. You know, those close-ups in baseball, it was like, oh, my Lord, get that camera off George Will. You know, waist-up shot, please, panorama, just avoid. You know, don't let him, don't get too close. Don't see his eyes, whatever you do. No, but obviously an intelligent man. Obviously a man has been paid off by the Republican Party to refute every single bit of credible, empirically gathered data for scientific projection into the future.
Well, you know, the thing with all of that, though, David, is where global warming is concerned, there's two options. Cruise on as we are doing now and run the risk of absolutely destroying the habitability of the planet, you know, not just for my grandkids or great-grandkids, but, hey, for George Bush's great-grandkids. Or we cut back.
Let's think about staying the course if they're going to
know. No, but, you know, but the other one is, okay, let's assume that it's real, and it is, and cut back on some of, and cut back a little bit, cut back on, you know, this rampant, all-consuming production, take a breather, cut back on some, you know, try to cut out some of the poisonous gases in our atmosphere, and maybe, you know, and if we're wrong, all that means is that we didn't grow as fast. If we're right, another generation of humanity gets to exist.
Well, if certainly, you know, right or wrong, we've spawned an industry that who might tell us, that might tell us who knows what about what could come next. I mean, the big companies, several big companies, huge entities, were all in favor of selling us computer fixes to avoid all of our computers rolling over and dying the morning of January 1st, 2000.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, Mike, the little company that I worked for, spent a lot of money on Y2K. And that is the greatest bit of fakery I've ever seen. And the government endorsed that so they can get behind ideas that may or may not be exactly the thing. But they, you know, it was their kind of people that might start new companies, make new strides, make a little money out of it. But no, it's if you step away from big power, big coal, big oil, big consumption, and if you go any other way, wait a second, that's those hippies. That's those guys that, you know, no, we can't make sure they have.
I don't like the smell of patchouli.
No, heck no.
Not them.
No, we've got to make sure we sell hamburgers. We can't sell hummus. No, we can't do that.
Hummus? Isn't that some sort of, like, don't you put that on your garden? Sorry.
I'm talking about those. All right, are you kidding me?
No, but it's so, you know, you're the one who coined the term, David, wrestling. And America's Please Stop Smoking campaigns are wrestling. Because as long as we're subsidizing the tobacco industry, all this please stop smoking stuff is stupidity. And frankly, if everybody, and I don't know, well, maybe not so much in Tennessee, but if everybody in West Virginia stopped smoking, we'd be driving on gravel roads. Or, you know, half of state government would collapse because, most state governments are this way anymore. They are propped up by taxes on liquor and taxes on tobacco and taxes on gasoline.
We're not that smart, Bob, in Tennessee. We have the second lowest cigarette tax in the nation. Ours is actually lower than Kentucky on cigarettes. So you pay very little in the state of Tennessee to cost the med the medical service providers an incredible amount of money. You know, because now as a reformed smoker, the worst sinner of all, a reformed one, I wish the whole thing would dry up because it's just, you know, it's terrible, it's evil. Oh, and I don't know about the Hall's Menthol Leptis. Looking back on it, I would have done well to have tapped into that routine about drink lots and lots and lots of water.
Water. I've been pounding water and pounding iced tea and just, you know, trying to, you know, because I suppose it's water-soluble, so it'll go out of your, you know, system that way or something. Although, well, you know, that's kind of dumb because I'm trying to get the patch to put more in.
Patch won't stick because you're sweating so hard from jonesing him.
Yeah, well, that may be part of it, yeah. Well, or, you know, if you wear it to, you know, and the warnings on the box, if you have vivid dreams, you may take the patch off before bedtime. I've rather been enjoying these little Cecil B. DeMilles I'm getting in during the nighttime. You know, I mean, you know, my dreams have turned into, you know, a wander through, you know, the Salvador Dali art gallery. Melting clocks and dancing cigarettes and, you know, oh, yeah, the good stuff.
Oh, what was that Daffy Duck cartoon that was Dali-esque? Yeah, one of those deals. Yeah, it's probably getting a little trippy. No problem.
And see, I know what's coming next from having been through this before, David. The next step is the nightmares. And that and what the nightmare is about, you know, I really probably should not be turned loose in public or allowed to walk around freely. I'll start having these dreams where, you know, and this is after I've been quit for a while. And the dream will be somewhere in the future, and I will have been, you know, and it's like I've been quit for 20 years, and something will happen, and I'll for some reason or another, I'll just automatically reach out for a cigarette and start smoking, and go, oh, nuts, 20 years gone to hell. I'm pretty hard on me.
You're a complicated guy.
Oh, you should talk to Agnes.
Oh, that's exactly what I was thinking. Agnes, save yourself. It may be too late for him.
It's the Titanic.
And we're going to go back. And we're going to go back to rearranging some deck chairs, I guess. Hey, David, thanks so much.
Oh, do take care, and you know just. Relax as best you can. And
see, we got a ball game tonight, don't we?
Oh, that's good.
Is that tonight or tomorrow night?
Oh, no, it's basketball night tonight.
That's what I thought. You'll have to drop me an email or something. Keep me up to date on the scores. Score.
The tip-off is not for another hour and 10 or 15 minutes in my market, so it's going to be right. You won't miss anything.
Okay, yeah, so I get to watch
it's
them.
It's an 8:15 Central tip-off.
Well, heck.
You know, they got a West Coast team in it. They gotta let those guys see the boys play. Come on now.
Yeah, well, and not only that, you know, it's the national championship, and as a consequence of that, well, you know, every other dribble's going to be a TV timeout.
I hate it when you're right.
Yeah. All right, have a great night, David. Thanks.
You too.
Bye now.
See ya.
Okay, yeah. Hey, Bob, please smoke so we can talk about, oh, I don't know, furniture? Furniture it is, sure. Let's take a break. It's time for the news. We'll try to get all the way through the news this time without turning it off in advance. This is Head On. You know the phone number, 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. It's just that easy. And I'm just Bob Kincaid.
Living in this wasteland of the free.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Head on Radio News, I'm Bruce Birch. The special counsel appointed to find out who leaked CIA operative Valerie Plame's identity apparently knew who the leaker was 2 months after the investigation started. The person leaked the classified information in retribution for Joseph Wilson's New York Times article refuting Bush's claims that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. That person has been named by sources as John Hanna. Hanna was a senior national security aide on loan to Dick Cheney, from then Undersecretary of State for Arms Control and International Security Affairs, John Bolton. A jury and panel to decide the fate of Zacharias Moussaoui made that decision today. 9 men and 3 women decided that Moussaoui was eligible for the death penalty by lying to FBI agents. They decided that one or more of his lies helped cover up the impending September 11th tragedy and led to at least one death. The jury will now decide if he will, indeed, die for his actions. How's that deregulation working out? A new study shows that overall airline industry quality is down from 2004 to 2006. A co-author of the report says that things will probably continue to get worse. Lost baggage claims, among other things, increased 25% in the last year. Job insecurity can lead to health problems, researchers say. According to the study, those who had less job security self-reported more health problems than those who felt more secure in their employment. The White House purge may be broader than expected. Published reports indicate Treasury Secretary John Snow may be down soon. Close on his heels may be White House spokesman Scotty McClellan. Snow made a fortune as CSX chairman when he sold out the rail line's container shipping business to Dubai Ports World. McClellan's credibility took a hit in his handling of the information related to the Valerie Plame leak investigation. Former UN Chief Weapons Inspector Hans Blix said today that Iran is, quote, 5 years away from developing a nuclear bomb, leaving plenty of time for negotiations, unquote. Blix was correct with regard to Iraq when he asked for more time to verify that Saddam had no weapons of mass destruction. The Bush administration pulled weapons inspectors out of Iraq prior to attacking Iraq in 2003. 10 people died and 38 more were injured when a truck bomb went off near a mosque in northeastern Baghdad Monday. The blast took place as worshippers were leaving evening prayers at the Shia mosque. In Basra Monday, attackers killed 6 people in a machine gun attack on a public market in the southern Iraqi city. All of the victims were members of a Sunni tribe. While Iraq sinks into chaos, the misery grows worse in Darfur. The Sudanese government denied access to UN envoy Jan Egeland as he made his way across the situation to assess the situation in Darfur. The government refused to allow his plane to land or for him to attend previously scheduled meetings in Khartoum. Egeland is the UN Emergency Relief Coordinator. This is News on the Horn, the head-on radio network.
Ew! It stinks in here.
Passing gas in the company of others is not only taboo, it can be deadly.
I'm gagging.
Passing gas releases a plume of toxic vapors like ammonia and hydrogen cyanide.
Oh, you're killing us over here.
Daddy, you promised you'd smoke outside.
You're right, Pumpkin. Excuse me.
If you smoke, take it outside. Don't pass gas. A message from the American Legacy Foundation and the Ad Council. Get the facts at don'tpassgas.org.
Israeli forces killed a 16-year-old Palestinian boy and wounded 3 other human beings Monday in an attack on a refugee camp in Ramallah. The 4 people had allegedly thrown rocks at the Israelis, who responded by killing them. It's a turf battle with potentially deadly consequences. The Justice Department's Inspector General said in a report Monday that disputes between the FBI and the U.S. Coast Guard must be resolved in order to prevent serious harm to the nation's ability to respond to a terrorist threat. Both agencies have jurisdiction over maritime threats. The report calls for the FBI and Coast Guard to enter into a memorandum of understanding. Former Liberian President Charles Taylor pleaded not guilty to an international war crimes tribunal today. Taylor is charged with destabilizing West Africa through killings, sexual slavery, and sending children into battle. Taylor at first said he
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
All right, welcome back. We've got some sort of a glitch inside the news recording, so you'll have that. And I'm going to try to do my best to make sure that we only have 1 hour tonight of addiction today. Okay, and just to be sure of that, I want to play something for you. I don't often play songs all the way through, but every now and then I get one, and this is one of those. This is a gentleman some of you will be very familiar with if you're into the flat picking or bluegrass scene. You'll know the name of Norman Blake. This is Norman and Nancy. And I'm not gonna give it a whole bunch of the blab to begin with. I'm just gonna play it.
And away down yonder in the Florida sand, old Jeb Bush is a mighty man. He told little brother, don't be blue, for I'm a-gonna hand this thing to you. The church has all got on board in the holy name of our Lord. They took him for their favorite son, and they sent him away to Washington. Now Georgie Bush, he is the man. He landed in Afghanistan. We'll get Osama was his crack, and now we're stranded in Iraq. He told old Rumsfeld on the green, now you're the best I've ever seen. Just heed my words and you'll go far, and help me win my daddy's war. Cheney lives way downtown by a cement bunker underground. No more he'll roam Wyoming's hills. Halliburton is his thrill. Don't send your money to Washington to fight a war that's never done. Don't play the games, don't be the pawns, and don't be afraid of the neocons. Katrina blew through the town, black waters flooded all around. No money to raise the levees high, and so we watched New Orleans die.
Bill Clinton was a Democrat. He saved us money in his hat. He fell from grace, the story goes. Then Georgie put us in the hole. Casey was Sandy's son. He marched away with his gun for a noble cause. He heard Bush say he died in a war so far away. Now Georgie, he is kind and meek. He kissed the king upon his cheek. They walked the garden hand in hand as the oil and blood dripped on the sand. Little song is done about the neocons in Washington. No more, I'll sing these words again. You can see it all on CNN. Don't send your money to Washington to fight a war that's never done. Don't play their games, don't be their pawns. Don't be afraid of the neocons. Send your money to Washington to fight a war that's never done. Don't play the games, don't be the pawns. Don't be afraid of the neocons.
I heard that a few days ago, and it has been stuck in my brain ever since. That's the entire Bush administration put to song as succinctly as anything I have ever heard. And that line about, and then we watched New Orleans die. There's a list out there somewhere. I've seen it. I saw it at WD40.com, as a matter of fact. Of all the rotten, filthy, hellish things that have been perpetrated by these monsters that a bunch of religious fanatics and corporatists put in office. And now that, you know what, they're plotting another war? Because a friend of ours, Sue on Big Coal River, sent me a transcript of remarks by the Iranian ambassador to the IAEA. And they were remarks that were made to Wolf Blitzer, that great American. You can go to get the late edition transcript. It's horrifying. There's stuff in, you know, with Wolf talking about things that Dick Cheney has said. Things like, we will not allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon. Which is, of course, just a shameless, dirty reframing of the debate. Because Iran has repeatedly said that it's not seeking a nuclear weapon. It is seeking nuclear power, as many nations are. Blitzer says, well, that's what we're about to talk about. But I wanted to ask you about the news involving this missile, the ballistic missile that they test-fired a few days ago. The United Nations Security Council has now issued a unanimously approved statement urging to Iran to stop enriching uranium and saying the clock is ticking. You have 30 days to comply. Will your government comply with what the Security Council has requested? And Mr. Sultania said, this is the first reaction I can say that is that we express our regret for such a hasty decision, because the wisest decision was no action. The best action of the United Nations Security Council is no action, merely just to take note of the documents which have been sent to the United Nations Security Council and let the IAEA do its own job, because the IAEA is the only pertinent technical international organization to do its responsibility. The more UN, United Nations Security Council, is engaged and involved, the situation will be further deteriorated, and we have to prevent confrontation. Now, who sounds crazier? what you just heard there, or Dick Cheney saying, we will not allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon. Which one's crazier? Which one's more likely to wind up in a situation that gets people dead? You know, there was a news story today, and I'm not taking sides in this fight. But there was a news story today about a 16-year-old Palestinian boy and three other Palestinians. Well, the boy was killed outright, and the other three were wounded. I mean, and the Muslim world sees this before we see it. Now, the fact that, you know, we're over here in the United States and for the most part don't give a tinker's damn or think that somehow or another the Israelis have a right to do this does not matter. It does not matter in terms of the way that it is viewed by in the rest of the world. A 16-year-old boy and was killed and three Palestinians were injured. Here's how. It was in the refugee camp, I believe, at Ramallah. The four people were throwing rocks. That would be ROCK, R-O-C-K. It's not an acronym for radar. Oh, I can't even come up with an acronym right now. No, it's a rock. It's a stone. They were throwing rocks at some Israeli soldiers. So then, you know, well, you know, what's the natural response? Kill them. Palestinians threw rocks. The Israelis shot bullets. Now, if you can step outside the boundaries of our knee-jerk response for the Israeli government and realize that when the rest of the world, specifically, you know, what the policy wonks like to refer to as the Muslim street. If you can see how the Muslim street looks at that, on the one hand, you got people throwing rocks. On the other hand, you got people gunning them down. There's a big difference between rocks and bullets. There's a big difference between, we're not going to allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon, and we are not looking for a nuclear weapon. We are looking for a nuclear power. Because all along, and what was the, I read a thing, the last liberal who believed that the Bush administration didn't really want war with Iraq, something I read over the weekend, and the guy comes around and says, you know, now I'm hearing the same thing about Iran that they said about Iraq. And it is. It's off the same. It's something they threw into WordPerfect or Microsoft Word and did a global search and replace for the letter N and the letter Q. Q gone, N replaced. Iraq, Iran, and the rest of the script is otherwise the same.
Well, they have weapons of mass destruction and pose a grave threat to world safety and world peace if we don't do something about them. That's what confronts us today, and we reserve the right to defend America against threats that don't even exist.
Heard that somewhere before? I damn sure have. And then, of course, well, I tell you what. There are some other things to go into here. One of which would be, Cindy Sheehan wrote a letter. And it's a letter worth pondering. Maybe even worth talking about if you want to. The phone number, of course, is 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. Email, by the way, is easy, too, bob@headonradio.com. And let me take this moment to extend an invitation to you for two things. One, feel free to run by and post whatever's on your mind in the forums at headonradio.com. That's that's the website for this show in particular, headonradio.com. The message boards there are free and easy to use. If you have any registration issues, drop me an email. I'll see to it that it gets fixed. And then at the same time, we're also chatting wildly away in the chat room at headonradionetwork.com. That's going on right now. So make use of the resources that we do provide for your enjoyment and for our edification. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Generation swings, you know, it's more than just some new sense. Hi, everybody. This is Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man's thinking man. And if you're sick and tired of the same crap you hear on corporate radio, then I want to invite you to join me for the premiere of the Cup of Joe radio show, Saturday, April 8th, 2006, from 8 to 10 p.m. It's the wave of the future, the voice of the resistance, the truth that will set you free. So join me this Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. on the Head On Radio Network.
Lottie in the chat room has fixed himself some stuffed pork chops with apple raisin walnut chuck.
You, me, Grace, Rama.
Mango chutney.
Hey, speaking of that,
it's all you need.
Mustard seed?
Mustard seed, yeah. That article.
It's not the same as mustard gas.
Well, it's pretty close. Mustard gas.
Join
mustard
Grace
gas.
And Rama, homebodies, Sunday evenings, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network. It's food for thought.
In the conservative darkness. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 21 minutes after the hour. At least it is here. There's that whole delay thing that goes on with the internet stream. You'll have to do the math. I mentioned Cindy Sheehan earlier. Background on this, every now and then we use the word Republican. And a lot of these suckers earn it every day of their lives. And one of those is a Republican from the state of Georgia named Jack Kingston. Now let me show. Do you remember the hissy fit when they made up that entire story the right wing did back during the Clinton administration about how Hillary Clinton refused to meet with the Gold Star moms and it was just made up out of whole cloth and there wasn't a word of damn truth to it? Now, here is how the right wing treats the mother, a Gold Star mother, of a slain Iraqi soldier from Georgia's Iraq War. This is from Congressman Jack Kingston's blog. Cindy Sheehan is a nutcase from March 31st. In today's Congress Daily AM, full story after the jump due to subscription, Sue Davis reports that Congressman Kingston got into a discussion yesterday in a closed-door meeting with two liberal Democrats regarding anti-war beatnik Cindy Sheehan. A closed hearing of the House Defense Appropriations Subcommittee turned contentious Thursday as Representative Jack Kingston, Subcommittee Ranking Member Jack Murtha, D., Pennsylvania, and others sparred over the meaning of the anti-war activist Cindy Sheehan, heroes in military service. Kingston commented that Sheehan was a nutcase and lamented that too many of the human interest stories coming out of the war in Iraq center on anti-war activists like Sheehan and filmmaker Michael Moore and do not give proper service to heroic tales of U.S. soldiers. I think she is a very flaky woman, Kingston told Congress Daily. I think we need more heroes. The only people that get press are people like Moore and Sheehan. This is one sick SOB, Jack Kingston. To talk that way about an Iraqi war fallen soldier's mother. A beatnik. A nutcase. A flake. Well, Mr. Kingston, you supported that god-awful war. Perhaps she wouldn't be that way, brother, if you hadn't have gotten her boy killed because you bastard! Her son's blood is on your stinking
filthy, rotten, repiglican hands? Or are they claws, you monster?
She's not flaky.
There's nothing flaky about her. All she does is go about the country and talk about the fact that this war is framed on lies. What was I talking about a couple of minutes ago? The same damn things that were said about Iraq are now being said about Iran. These murderous common street punks in the Republican Party don't even have enough creativity to come up with a new fraud. They're just using the same old con again. And on the blog, Cindy Sheehan is a nutcase. In fact, you may remember Cindy Sheehan from a recent trip to Venezuela. Yada, 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 blah, 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 blah.
What's his idea?
Now, I don't know a lot about it, but I would think that, I guess she doesn't have time to waste on it, but she needs to sue Jack Kingston. Because, you see, Jack Kingston engaged in a very, very illegal act with her, with that regard. He accused her of insanity. In most jurisdictions, that is slander and libel per se. It just is. But, of course, he's a member of Congress, and therefore above it all, and since he's a Republican, he can say anything he wants to about anyone he wants to, as long as they don't go along with his little vision of the jackbooted fascist theocracy that he hopes to build in America. Is this the same SOB that was on Bill Maher a couple of weeks ago? Is that him? Ugh. Now, Cindy wrote a response, and it's there at truthout.org if you want to go and have a look. We'll take a look at it here in a few minutes. Right now, let's go to the phones. Our good friend David from Maine is calling in. Hey, David, you're head on.
How you doing, Bob?
I'm all right, you?
Well, I'm doing good, and just to carry on that theme of addiction for tonight, because that seems to be the theme of the show. This reminds me of something a lot of people don't realize. It's like, different addictions, like people think once you have it made, and I'm about to go to the neocon thing in a second.
Okay.
But Michael Jackson, he was addicted to something other than drugs, and I don't think people realize this, but in Walter Yetnikoff's book, who was the president of CBS, he would get calls in the middle of the night. Michael Jackson would be on the phone, and he would act like his record wasn't number one. Is my record still number one? Is it number one?
Oh, man.
Is it number one? And Walter would say, listen, Michael, listen, I got to get up in the morning to do a meeting. And, I mean, he would just call constantly. He goes, but Walter. And he would act like nothing was wrong. He'd be like, but Walter, my record needs to be number one. Just endless. I mean, and after a while, I mean, so that has to do with the addiction of just plain that you have to be number one all the time.
Well, or you have to be popular, or you have to perceive that you're loved or adored, or
right,
yeah, sure,
right, constantly. So what? So this is the theme that a lot of people don't realize. I think the miscategorization in the articles and the commentary that I hear, a lot of these people think this is my theory now. So work with me on this one, but I think that a lot of people think that everybody's happy who causes damage, and they're sitting pretty, and I hope they're smiling and whatnot. They keep causing damage because they think it's going to change something. They're going to feel a different way, and it's just constant. It's almost like an intravenous drug user. They think, oh, okay, this time will be different. This time I'll get it. This time I'll feel that again.
This time it'll be different. Yeah, you're very, very perceptive, David, because. Well, I remember something written by Jules Pfeiffer, the great cartoonist.
Right.
He wrote a play once called Hold Me, and in that it was sort of like a play version of a bunch of his cartoons. And in one of them, he has a guy who says, "Some days I feel like a god, and some days I feel like a demon." And some days I feel like a farmer, and some days I feel like a chemist, and some days I feel like a president. And he goes through this list of, you know, some days he feels like this, that, and the others. And then at the very bottom he says, and some days I just feel like me. So I drink. You know, these are, we're talking about gateways for people who want to stop somehow or another feeling like themselves.
And you know, to add on to that, Bob, disinfo is kind of a drug too. They know it's not true, but they have to hear it. They have to hear it to live.
Well, yeah, they have to.
That's how Fox, to me, that's how Foxes react. I know a lot of people, because when you see an anger unleashed of a person, even my parents, neighbors, they will get so mad if you question something that it's just like they want to believe it so bad, but they already know in their subconscious that there's something wrong.
Yeah, well, they know it's evil. I mean, the knowledge between of doing what's right versus doing what's wrong is something that you pick up as a child, you know, and no matter the subterfuge that you engage in, you still know that it is damned well wrong. So there's a lot of people. I think if you scratch them far enough, you'll find in Representative Jack Kingston or whatnot. You'll find out fast enough that these people know that what they're doing is evil. These people know that ripping off and raping Iraq was just plain evil. But you're absolutely right. They're junked up on that disinformation. They're junked up on justification. They're junked up on rationalization, David.
And they believe if they disconnect from it, that somehow the liberal in the world is going to just disintegrate their mind, and they'll be living in this whatever paranoid world they think it's going to be. So they just want this constant comfort. It's almost like what I was saying about Michael Jackson. He just wants that constant, yes, we're doing right, yes, we're doing right, don't worry.
And that's what the Bush administration is trying to give out. You know, it's okay, it's all right. You know, we've killed 150,000 innocent civilians. Half of them were women and children, at least. But it's okay. It was for freedom. You know, why do you think they use such broad brush terms as they do? Freedom, liberty, and talking about how it's on the march and we're turning the corner, and anybody who opposes us is what? Let's see. What did Rumsfeld call them, David? Dead enders.
Dead enders. Well, he doesn't want the people going henny penny over in Iraq. That's what he said too. Henny penny.
Oh my God. Yeah, again, you know, we were okay. There's just a second ago, you learned the difference between right and wrong as a child. This guy never got over his nursery rhymes. Henny penny.
He said that so many times during the press conference.
Well, I guess that's because he can't say harem scarum because he's afraid that using the phrase harem would put off his Iraqi supporters. Oh my God.
You know the thing that if I was running for office in 06, you know what my catchphrase would be?
What?
One of the things that I'd say, no more gotcha games in 06.
Well, you're absolutely right, David, because we are up to our eyeballs in gotcha. You know, look, the immigration debate is gotcha.
Oh, my God. You know, this is so funny to me because, to really be honest about it, I was telling my parents this tonight. I said, you know, all this is doing is energizing immigrants to want to come here and speak a different language and take your jobs.
Oh, without a doubt. And
I mean, are people really this stupid? They must be, because this is what it's doing. That's why the Mexicans... Oh, man, you know what? I hate to say this, but I would like to see all the immigrants do a giant strike. I mean, that would make everybody go nuts.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and yeah, no more. Yeah, no lettuce for you.
Did you see Malkin on TV? She's trying to find every single angle that they were unruly and insolent and intolerant. And they keep showing the footage of that one Minuteman getting beaten up.
Oh, God.
I mean, it's just so ridiculous. That's all they have. They must be going nuts. That's the only thing they have in the whole damn...
Well, this is... look, immigration is gay marriage for 06. You know, they keep wearing out these wedge issues, which means that if these Republicans, David, would work half as hard on actually making America a better place to live as they do on making America a more hateful place to live, we would be in paradise.
Oh. Without a question, this brings an interesting thing that I wanted to say that got me wondering today or this weekend. I thought, you know, it's so stupid, Bob, how we think that we can't put like a cap on how much people make. So I was thinking of this, like, remember when you play video games and pinballs, thing comes up 9999999.
Yeah.
That's all you make.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's all you can make.
Well, yeah. And
the rest just goes right in back into the...
Yeah, and the odometer on your car, sooner or later,
right.
You know, if it lasts long enough, it, you know, that millionth mile, by God, it rolls back over to one, and it's new again, I guess.
Right, so that's how we... I believe that right there, that is such, like, an easy type thing if someone would be brave enough to do that. But obviously they're not. And this is, again, why we have trouble, because people think, oh, everybody can have everything, and it's fine. No, everybody can't have everything. And if you're not going to spend that money, then why are you making it?
Yeah, well, yeah, right. Because again, it's that syndrome where they don't understand that they don't get to put the U-Haul behind the hearse.
I think these pro-war supporters should be like ultra taxed for the body armor and everything that these troops are going through. Veteran camp every month.
I think they should go there. I think yeah, give them the body armor. Give them as good as what any of our troops get. And for God's sakes, let some of that 0.1% that controls 90% of the wealth in this country, for God's sakes, let them go fight their war. This isn't my war. This isn't David's war. This isn't the middle class's war. This is a war that was started for upper class reasons and upper class purposes and for upper class ends. I don't understand why no one, or not no one, but why it seems like a whole bunch of America doesn't get that.
I don't know. I mean, but if they want an immigration problem, like George Costanza says, you want a problem, you got it.
Oh, yeah. They're making it worse. Hey, David, we've got to hit our Cup of Joe report for tonight. So good to hear from you.
By the way,
yes.
That album was Norman Blake, Down Home in the Sulphur Springs, and it's a bonus track on it.
Is it a bonus track?
Yeah. I just wanted to get that out for people.
Well, it's brilliant. It is absolutely brilliant. Thanks, David.
Later.
Bye now. Okay, let's see. Yeah, quick break. And by the way, if you didn't hear the promo earlier, our good friend Joe Vecchio is going to go to a weekly format. He's going to have a program for us every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. That starts this Saturday night. Hope you'll join us. And, of course, you know, you'll be missing out if you don't. This is Head On. Phone number, 877-4, Head On. 877-443-2366, bob@headonradio.com. It's all just so easy. And I am Bob Kincaid.
The Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. I guess since attacking gays for wanting to get married has become passé, the Republicans have decided that immigrants are going to be the scapegoat of choice, the issue they'll use to get their already too wound-up supporters fired up for the 2006 congressional elections. Now, being the grandson of immigrants, I'm probably a little biased. As far as I'm concerned, we should let them all in. Okay, maybe that's not necessarily such a great idea, but then again, I'm not planning on running for office. The issue is hardly a new one. The Irish, the Italians, the Jews, any number of immigrants coming into America have faced prejudice and hatred from those who were here before them. I'm not saying that this is a good thing, just something we should come to expect. Businesses love to pit these different groups against themselves, making them compete to see who's willing to work the hardest for the lowest wages. To borrow a phrase from myself, here's the plain truth. There are no Americans. There are no Mexicans. There are no Iraqis. There are only working people who have nothing to sell but their own sweat and blood and who depend on the social infrastructure to survive, and there are those who want to manipulate those people for their own ambitions. And as we move into a more interconnected global economy, we will eventually realize another greater truth. There are no immigrants. This planet is home to all of us. And what the rich and powerful fear the
We've got a little demon in the board somewhere, or in the computer or something, so let's try this again.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. I guess since attacking gays for wanting to get married has become passé, the Republicans have decided that immigrants are going to be the scapegoat of choice, the issue they'll use to get their already too wound-up supporters fired up for the 2006 congressional elections. Now, being the grandson of immigrants, I'm probably a little biased. As far as I'm concerned, we should let them all in. Okay, maybe that's not necessarily such a great idea, but then again, I'm not planning on running for office. The issue is hardly a new one. The Irish, the Italians, the Jews, any number of immigrants coming into America have faced prejudice and hatred from those who were here before them. I'm not saying that this is a good thing, just something we should come to expect. Businesses love to pit these different groups against themselves, making them compete to see who's willing to work the hardest for the lowest wages. To borrow a phrase from myself, here's the plain truth. There are no Americans. There are no Mexicans. There are no Iraqis. There are only working people who have nothing to sell but their own sweat and blood and who depend on the social infrastructure to survive, and there are those who want to manipulate those people for their own ambitions. And as we move into a more interconnected global economy, we will eventually realize another greater truth. There are no immigrants. This planet is home to all of us. And what the rich and powerful fear the Businesses love to pit these different groups against themselves, making them compete to see who's willing to work the hardest for the lowest wages. To borrow a phrase from myself, here's the plain truth. There are no Americans. There are no Mexicans. There are no Iraqis. There are only working people who have nothing.
Cigarette reference. Thanks, Agnes. Thanks a million, doll. Oh, for heaven's sakes. No, I have no idea what's going on. Just weirdness.
Thank you for calling the Smoking Cessation Patch Line. Your call may be recorded for quality assurance purposes. If you have an emergency, please hang up and call your doctor, hospital emergency room, or poison control center. After your emergency is handled, please call us back. If you do not have an emergency, stay on the line and we'll be with you just as soon as possible.
That one recorded all the way. See, isn't that nice, peaceful music for us Jones and people? Nice and peaceful, that's what we want, peaceful. Peaceful, peaceful, peaceful. Not a thing that won't finish recording the stuff that we need to record. You know, thank you very much for calling the nicotine patch hotline. Would you like a piece of cheese? I'm sorry, that's just so Midwestern. But now let's go back to where we were. I had mentioned earlier this business with Cindy Sheehan. Say of her, no, don't say of her what you will. Say of her what she deserves to be said, that she sent a son who gave his life in George Bush's war that is a dirty, rotten, stinking, filthy lie. Say that of her. But she can speak for herself pretty well. Congressman Kingston, she writes, how dare you psychoanalyze me and call me a nutcase? How dare you call me a beatnik and lie about me in your blog? First of all, April 4th, 2006, that would be tomorrow, will be the second anniversary of my son's death. Casey Austin Sheehan was a man filled with integrity and courage. He was a hero who never backed down from the right thing in his entire life.
He was an amazing person who didn't hide when his commander-in-chief sent him to a war based on lies, even when he knew that they were lies. He carried out his duty, unlike his commander-in-chief, who went AWOL from the Alabama Air National Guard. You know, he did. He really, really did. And he volunteered to serve his country, unlike the vice commander-in-chief, who had other priorities.
I had other priorities during the Vietnam War.
Second of all, I've never called terrorists freedom fighters, because that was another one of the stinking rotten lies that Kingston... Or you may recall how she refers to the terrorists who were killing American soldiers in Iraq as freedom fighters. Check out this story by WorldNet Daily. Oh, why didn't they just say it was from Newsmax? Or maybe it was a story authored by Jeff Gannon, Talon News Service. HotMilitaryStudsForYou.com. It's what David said. These people have to have a steady stream of lies in order to just keep from spontaneously combusting or imploding or exploding or just having their little heads go, like when the refrigerator light bulb goes out. They got about the same wattage going for them. There is it the amperage. I don't know. I don't do electricity. Check out this story by WorldNet Daily, my left hind foot. She writes, I'm not a left-wing Democrat, and I hold many of the members of that party as responsible as I hold your party and George Bush and his administration. I do not think that there is anything political about an illegal and immoral war. Our country was founded on dissent and on the blood of freedom fighters. I have every right to be doing what I'm doing to try and stop the needless and unnecessary killing without being wrongly judged by you. I would add, you sorry freak. But she didn't. She's a nice lady. I believe that you and anyone else who would deny me, or Michael Moore for that matter, our rights and responsibilities as patriotic Americans are the ones who are anti-American and traitors to the American way of life. A member of your own party and a noted warmonger, Theodore Roosevelt, said, patriotism means to stand by the country. It does not mean to stand by the president or any other public official, save exactly to the degree in which he himself stands by the country. It is patriotic to support him insofar as he efficiently serves the country. It is unpatriotic not to oppose him to the exact extent that by inefficiency or otherwise he fails in his duty to stand by the country. In either event, it is unpatriotic not to tell the truth, whether about the president or anyone else. Bless her for having the time and the energy to do what she has done. Bless her for starting up the protests that have made Crawford, Texas, as miserable a place as the White House for George Bush. Eventually, there will be no place on earth where that man can lay his head without being reminded of the horrors and the hells that he has made of other people's lives, if there is anything approaching platonic justice in this world. You know, an ideal of justice, a justice above the justice that we are all able to comprehend. Great big justice, if you want to call it that, because that is the justice that should follow George Bush wherever he goes. George Bush shouldn't be able to look in the mirror in the morning without seeing his own face drenched in the blood of the hundreds upon thousands of individuals that he has had killed. I don't, you know, in this business about, well, you know, Bob, you don't understand, well, there are decisions that have to be, you know, I heard Madeleine Albright make that argument in the mid-1990s when she was asked, well, you know, Madam Secretary, we know now that a million children have died as a direct and proximate result of the sanctions that the West has placed on Iraq following the Iraq War. What do you think of that? And Madeleine Albright, Bill Clinton's Secretary of State, said, well, you know, on the whole, I have to say it was worth it. I'm busy being a human being. You are too. What one of us would be willing to say of the deaths of a million children for want of simple medicine? What one of us would say, well, on the whole, I think it was worth it? What happens to a human being when you give them so much power that they can make value, so-called value judgments like that? Cindy says, George Bush has admitted that Saddam Saddam has admitted that, or George Bush has admitted that Saddam had no WMD or ties to Al-Qaeda. He has admitted to spying on Americans without due process and has called the Constitution, quote, an old scrap of paper. No, actually, Ms. Sheehan, according to the news report that came out of Capitol Hill Blue, he called it a goddamn piece of paper. That's what he called it. And he lives that every day. He acts like that is damned well what it is. She writes he's responsible for the tragic deaths of thousands of people and for America losing its reputation in the international community, and to support his failed presidency is not only unpatriotic, as Teddy said, but it's also a war crime. I'm not a nutcase. I'm not an unpatriotic war criminal like you and others who still support the most failed presidency in the history of our country. What I am is a devastated, broken-hearted mother who will mourn the needless death of my son for the rest of my life. I just want the killing to stop before there are any more American or Iraqi Casey and Sin. Cindy Sheehan's. See, Cindy Sheehan is a lot better than I am. Because I couldn't have gotten 5 words into that letter before I started using language that I would be ashamed for my mother, God rest her soul, to know that I know how to use. Let's go to the phones. Rick is with us from Panama City. Hey, Rick, you're head on.
I'm going to type Mercury right when you put me on the air. Okay, I'm not used to multitasking. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing good. You?
Hey, not bad. You know, I just bought a carton of cigarettes.
Yeah, I know. You've been taunting me from the chat room. Don't think I haven't seen it.
Oh, you watch that?
Oh, heck yeah.
Oh.
It runs in the background.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I have my ways.
Hey, look, dude, man. You're going to be all right whether you smoke or you don't. Who talked you into this? Did Agnes talk you into this?
No, nobody talked me into it. I figured out the economic devastation of it, and B, they've gotten to where they make me feel like crap.
Wait a minute. Economic devastation of a pack of Durrells?
Yeah.
Well, they sell for like 40 cents, don't they?
You wish.
Well, you're in West Virginia. You're in a tobacco state.
No, we're not a tobacco state.
You're not?
No.
Well, you're right up alongside where you go across the border and get all of...
The crappy Doral's are $3 a pack, Rick.
Even in the Carolinas?
No, here. I can't drive to the Carolinas. Get a map!
Well, I guess I'll ask it. I only remember what it was on I-95. Every time I used to go back and forth to New York from Florida, I used to buy like 20, 30 cartons of cigarettes.
Oh, yeah, when you go through Virginia, they're practically giving them out at the exits.
Yeah, it was amazing. A carton of Marlboros, $8. You know, and then when I found Camels for $4, I just say, well, I'm in love. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. I really do. I mean, but no, they're $3.
Well, I'm glad. I've seen your photo. I'm glad you're quitting.
Hey, you're just batting a million tonight, aren't you?
Ha! See? You're short with me.
$4 a pack for the good stuff. I used to be a Winston Lights guy.
Oh, well, damn, there's part of your problem.
No, they're made of real tobacco, they say.
Yeah, scraped up on the floor with rat hair and everything else. They grind up the filters and everything.
Rick, newsflash, it's the same with your Camels.
No, my Camels are made of Turkish and domestic tobacco.
Still reading the back of the pack, are you?
It's blended. It's wonderful stuff.
But anyway, there was cost involved with it, but they were making me feel bad, too.
Well,
because I mean, I don't, you know, I don't just smoke, man. I smoke, and that's in capital letters, okay?
I am a 3-pack-a-day smoker, 3 packs a day. I pop morphines and I smoke cigarettes and drink coffee. That's what I do. That's exactly what I do.
No, okay, then you get it. I mean,
you're gonna bury me in a lead box or something. Protect the water supply. But here's, I want to talk about Biden. I want to talk about the things that we've been seeing on C-SPAN. And I want to talk about the things we've been seeing on MTV. It almost reminds me of that.
Might as well be.
Yeah, Meet the Press. How about Zinni? Did Zinni kick some butt or what?
Oh, yeah, Anthony's, yeah. And, of course, that just down the memory hole.
Yeah, I know, but I mean.
But there's a good excerpt of it over at crooksandliars.com.
Well, there's a better one right on their own site. You can watch the whole show. Just go to Just type into Google, Meet the Press. It'll bring you right to the...
No, that's true. Yeah, yeah, NBC's website. Yeah, you can go, you can watch the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, he did a fantastic... This guy laid down the line unafraid. He didn't stutter. He didn't equivocate. This guy just told his way it was because he has confidence in himself because he knows he's a righteous dude. And then what happens? Bam! The next day, the news media starts talking about two things. A big shakeup at the Bush White House because people got to go. Zinni said that. People got to go.
Oh, yeah.
All right? And so you know what kind of weight this guy's carrying. All right, so they're going to try to play that game.
Well, Zinni, I have a feeling Zinni knows where some of the bodies are buried.
Oh, yeah, but guess what? He's not afraid to say so. Like Joe Biden, who was doing his little speeches over the weekend and going out there and talking about, just lecturing us about how he cares about us so much. You remember Joe Biden? Mr. What do they call that credit card? Bank One or BAM?
The senator from Capital One?
Yeah. I mean, I sent him an email today just to let him know I have not forgotten what he did to us on bankruptcy reform, and I wouldn't vote for him if he was getting elected for latrine duty. He is out, and I hope he understands it. And the eight members of the other seven members of my family won't vote for him. To hell with him. But it was just amazing.
But Rick, you can't vote for him unless you move to Delaware.
He's running for president.
Well,
that was the context.
He's no, but see, Biden's never going to make it into that race because he tried it once before and he got buried for being. Do you not remember this, Rick?
He actually thinks he has a shot at this.
No, Rick. He tried it. He tried it many years ago. What was it? 88 maybe or 90?
No, you got to watch this.
No, he tried it in 88 and 90 or 92. I can't forget remember which one. But Rick, he got busted. He's a plagiarist.
He is a lot of things, but he actually thinks he's got a hand in this game. Go up to C-SPAN and see what he's doing. He's making the rounds trying to be president. And he's talking the talk. That's exactly what I said in my email. You talk the talk, but you don't walk the walk, boy. You know, I wouldn't vote for you for nothing. So we got that going on. And then what does it all start on MSNBC and then it filters over to Fox and then over to CNN, okay?
Yeah.
What happens after Zinni speaks? Bam. We got to watch out for Bin Laden. The boogeyman is under our bed again, and he's going to attack because his driver says so.
Oh, I know,
you're
I know. And
quoting on the story from CBS.
Oh, and what's banging out there today on the CNN website? FBI and Coast Guard must resolve dispute because it could cause terrible loss of life in case of a terrorist attack.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, I just wonder what that dispute is. Like, one of them is probably saying,
well, they have co-equal jurisdiction over maritime terrorism.
Well, that's ridiculous. That's utterly ridiculous. Because
who let the FBI have a damn boat?
Yeah, exactly. The Coast Guard are the guys that get it done. They certify my kids when they go out into the Gulf Coast or go to Japan or whatever they're going to do. They got to get their Z cards and everything through these guys, through the Coast Guard. The FBI doesn't even figure in. So I don't even understand how they can get in mixed up in that. But maybe they're trying to help save the Katrina victims a little bit later because there's water involved in both. I don't know. But, I mean, when we don't have the FBI doing their job arresting people like Bush, and we don't have the CIA arresting people like Bush.
It is easy. It's easy enough to figure out. If you look at the, and it's all detailed in the final bill, I guess, or tally or receipt or whatever, for Ken Starr. Look at the number of FBI agents he had trolling through Arkansas trying to find women that Bill Clinton had sex with. Now take each one of those and say, what if this guy saw somebody trying to learn to fly an airplane but not learn how to land it? Okay, I mean, there were more than a dozen, more than two dozen, I think, FBI agents that were seconded to the Ken Starr investigation.
Did you see what happened on Larry King with the chick?
Which?
Larry King or Brian Lamb? One of them was interviewing the chick that has the goods on these guys, that stifled the entire investigation. I can't remember her name. What's her name? That lady FBI agent. McKinney?
What, Sybil Edmonds?
No, the lady.
Oh, no, I know who you're talking about.
She has a Polish name.
Yeah.
But want me to hold you? Getting
yes, stand by. Let me put you on hold so we can do the news. All right. Okay, we're hoping maybe the news works this time. But on... You know, there's a network out there called Jones Radio.
I think we may be taking them over. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path, one that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Head On Radio News, I'm Bruce Birch. The special counsel appointed to find out who leaked CIA operative Valerie Plame's identity apparently knew who the leaker was 2 months after the investigation started. The person leaked the classified information in retribution for Joseph Wilson's New York Times article refuting Bush's claims that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. That person has been named by sources as John Hanna. Hanna was a senior national security aide on loan to Dick Cheney, from then Under Secretary of State for Arms Control and International Security Affairs, John Bolton. A jury and panel to decide the fate of Zacharias Moussaoui made that decision today. 9 men and 3 women decided that Moussaoui was eligible for the death penalty by lying to FBI agents. They decided that one or more of his lies helped cover up the impending September 11th tragedy and led to at least one death. The jury will now decide if he will, indeed, die for his actions. How's that deregulation working out? A new study shows that overall airline industry quality is down from 2004 to 2006. A co-author of the report says that things will probably continue to get worse. Lost baggage claims, among other things, increased 25% in the last year. Job insecurity can lead to health problems, researchers say. According to the study, those who had less job security self-reported more health problems than those who felt more secure in their employment. The White House purge may be broader than expected. Published reports indicate Treasury Secretary John Snow may be down soon. Close on his heels may be White House spokesman Scotty McClellan. Snow made a fortune as CSX chairman when he sold out the rail line's container shipping business to Dubai Ports World. McClellan's credibility took a hit in his handling of the information related to the Valerie Plame leak investigation. Former UN Chief Weapons Inspector Hans Blix said today that Iran is, quote, 5 years away from developing a nuclear bomb, leaving plenty of time for negotiations, unquote. Blix was correct with regard to Iraq when he asked for more time to verify that Saddam had no weapons of mass destruction. The Bush administration pulled weapons inspectors out of Iraq prior to attacking Iraq in 2003. 10 people died and 38 more were injured when a truck bomb went off near a mosque in northeastern Baghdad Monday. The blast took place as worshippers were leaving evening prayers at the Shia mosque. In Basra Monday, attackers killed 6 people in a machine gun attack on a public market in the southern Iraqi city. All of the victims were members of a Sunni tribe. While Iraq sinks into chaos, the misery grows worse in Darfur. The Sudanese government denied access to UN envoy Jan Egeland as he made his way across the situation to assess the situation in Darfur. The government refused to allow his plane to land or for him to attend previously scheduled meetings in Khartoum. Egeland is the UN Emergency Relief Coordinator. This is News on the Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Ew, it stinks in here.
Passing gas in the company of others is not only taboo, it can be deadly.
I'm gagging.
Passing gas releases a plume of toxic vapors like ammonia and hydrogen cyanide.
Oh, you're killing us over here.
Daddy, you promised you'd smoke outside.
You're right, Pumpkin. Excuse me.
If you smoke, take it outside. Don't pass gas. A message from the American Legacy Foundation and the Ad Council. Get the facts at don'tpassgas.org.
Israeli forces killed a 16-year-old Palestinian boy and wounded three other human beings Monday in an attack on a refugee camp in Ramallah. The four people had allegedly thrown rocks at the Israelis, who responded by killing them. It's a turf battle with potentially deadly consequences. The Justice Department's Inspector General said in a report Monday that disputes between the FBI and the U.S. Coast Guard must be resolved in order to prevent serious harm to the nation's ability to respond to a terrorist threat. Both agencies have jurisdiction over maritime threats. The report calls for the FBI and Coast Guard to enter into a memorandum of understanding. Former Liberian President Charles Taylor pleaded not guilty to an international war crimes tribunal today. Taylor is charged with destabilizing West Africa through killings, sexual slavery, and sending children into battle. Taylor at first said he would not recognize the standing of the court to try him, then later said he, quote, did not and could not have, unquote, committed the atrocities he is accused of. The U.S. Capitol Police are seeking an arrest warrant for Representative Cynthia McKinney for an alleged tussle she had with Capitol Police officer last week. The incident happened when she was entering the Capitol building and a police officer tried to keep her from entering. McKinney has thus far said it was a misunderstanding. Article 1, Section 6, Paragraph 1 states that the senators and representatives shall in all cases except treason, felony and breach of the peace be privileged from arrest during their attendance at the session of their respective houses and in going to and returning from the same. George Bush cannot find peace, even in Texas. George Bush's ranch is seeing less and less of him as he's become a magnet for protesters since the vigil held by Cindy Sheehan in August 2005. He has not hosted any foreign dignitaries nor had a press conference there since Mrs. Sheehan's vigil. For the Head On Radio Network, I'm Bruce Birch.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All right. 2 hours of Jones Radio. I'm sorry. But Agnes makes it better. That's right. Agnes makes everything better. She's like GE or something. They're better living through chemistry. Better living through Agnes. 7 minutes past the hour. The phone number you just heard, 877, the number 4, Head On. 877-443-2366. The email address, of course, is bob@headonradio.com. And, jump on by the chat room at headonradionetwork.com. And for that matter, run by my website, headonradio.com, for the message boards there. There's some lively discussion that goes on. We were chatting with Rick when we went to the break. You still there, Rick? Oh, Rick. Honey, it works better with the button. Yeah, there. Hey, Rick.
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right.
You didn't hear my letter, did you?
No.
All right.
No, but I heard that exhale.
What?
So, no, that's okay.
Okay. No, just that the animals are all gathering. I have a cat, a dog, what do you call those things, gerbils, and a guinea pig, and they're all gathering here tonight. I don't know what it's all about. They're all here. You're doing something strange to them. They really like what you're doing. Maybe stopping smoking is good for you.
Or the
earth is about to experience like 1,200 years of darkness. I'm not sure which one it is. No, I was trying to talk about this lady that was she's the whistleblower from the FBI that told about Massawi and all the other agents, and then she got
the Phoenix memo.
Yeah, well, she's part of that, and she got airtime. I mean, look what's breaking out across the nation on media right now. You actually had Timmy, that guy, actually, he was actually questioning McCain and exposing him for all he was. I mean, the media seems to be dumping on these guys and seems to be saying, well, it looks like we're going to be found out, so we got to look like, you know, we care about America. And that's what they seem to be on that level. I mean, it's amazing to me the amount of press that and negativity that's coming out. All of a sudden, we've got all of these things. And then, of course, you got Bush in the background going, well, bye, Andy, bye, Carl, bye this one, bye that one.
Yeah, the only thing we don't get is bye, George.
Yeah, I know. But he's still, here's the best part about it, which is why Bush is so consistent. Every time he fires somebody, he replaces them with another person who is much more hardliner than the last and most incredibly loyal to himself. Because Bush has, you know, this competency test, and that is, you must be loyal. You don't have to be competent about anything. So that's what he does. I mean, loyalty is everything. Will you swear the sacred sword and sleep in the coffin naked with me as we do gay sex, as we did at Skull and Bones? You know, is one of them weird things going on.
Well, yeah, but can I point out one thing to you, though, Rick?
Sure.
And this comes back to our standing theme of It's All Wrestling. George Bush can't be, at least as the law currently stands, George Bush cannot be reelected.
Yeah.
He is a target of opportunity now.
Yeah.
You never saw anything like this going down. I mean, the information hasn't changed, Rick.
No.
Okay? He's still the same criminal he was when he started this war.
Well, you do have Washington.
Most of the information that we're sitting there sort of slack-jawed watching Tim A. I love that. Watching Tim Russert ask, you know, the tough questions of John McCain. We're all sitting there slack-jawed while, you know, Chris Matthews suddenly looks like he's got a conscience or something. There's one difference. Nothing, none of this crap that we're seeing him ask questions about is any different than it was before.
No, it's not.
It's information that you and I have known for four freaking years in some instances.
The difference.
The only difference, Rick, is that George Bush is not running for re-election. It's safe now.
It's safe now that Bush isn't running for re-election, but the difference is that they're doing this during an election year. With Republicans, they're dangling them. They're putting them out the twist. Now, I know they're going to do fine because Bush has already sworn that he's going to turn around by introducing bin Laden, and the media is starting to pick it up, that he's telling them and they're cooperating. He's saying, hey, don't worry about a thing. I've got a way out of this. Me and Carl are going to blow up some people in America, just like we did on 9/11. We're going to turn around and kill some Americans. And then all the Americans are going to go crying back to daddy. And he's going to say, who's your daddy? See, he thinks it's going to work.
Well,
I think it won't work. I don't think it'll work again. Because they're going to judge him as ultimately incompetent. He's in the ultimate catch-22. If he's damned if he does, and he's damned if he don't. And all he's got left is one more dirty deed to murder some more Americans here in the United States, the same way that him and Cheney did on 9/11. And everybody's getting their mind around that idea. You got people from Hollywood. You got Charlie Sheen. You got Ed Asner, for Pete's sake. You got all kinds of people coming out and saying, this is a fable. It is crap. You got people that are going, it was on that Fourth Estate thing. No, I guess it was on Alex Jones. They went to this rally in Texas. And where they had this guy speaking that was part of the 9/11 commission. And they were hammering him. And all he could do was blow them off and make jokes and innuendos.
Well, I just...
They have no excuse.
Rick, I have to remind you one more time that while we're looking backwards at 9/11, they're plotting the next one. If indeed...
Yes, you're not reminding me of anything. I know they're going to do something horrible. I am scared for America. I am scared for that little mall in the Midwest when they release that bioagent or whatever they're going to do that will scare the entire nation.
Well, look at the business with the bomb testing near Vegas. All right, I mean this isn't like Jeff Rentz stuff. This is real.
Exactly, but
they're going to throw all kinds of radiated dust up into the air over Vegas, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah.
Now,
but wait,
Rick.
Okay.
Next, we are being told by policy analysts that the bombing of Iran will commence within the next 6 to 9 months. Okay. Now, there's nothing. There's a conspiracy going on with it, and our government is actively engaged, if you want to dare call the Bush administration our government. But there's nothing creepy about it. They're doing that out there in the bright light of day. That's what happens next, because as our good friend Jim says, once George goes nuclear over Tehran, there goes the neighborhood. And the neighborhood is this sweet little blue-green orb that's hurtling through the universe.
I brought this up on my blogs at lastbabylon.com and bunkerbabies.com and on takebackthemedia.com. This goes way back. This is a year and a half old. The policy was, if there's one more terrorist attack in the United States, we will nuke Iran. They said that. They said that way back then.
And wasn't it that crazy fart, the Tom Tancredo, the racist immigration dude? Wasn't he also the one who said, and I could be wrong, he said that if we're attacked again, we should immediately nuke Mecca?
Oh, yes, yes.
I mean, wasn't that him?
Yes, it goes all the way back to all that time. So that's a year and a half, 2 years old. That stuff has been out there a long time. What they've been doing is easing it in. It's like Pavlov's dogs or something, or boiling the frog in the pot. You just keep doing it until you don't know you're being boiled. This has been going on. And they've got, and look what they have accomplished. They've managed to turn a whole large chunk of the United States citizenry, supposedly God-fearing Christians, into murdering, evaporating little boys, little girls, women, and innocent men, and some soldiers. They're ready to do it. They're ready to press the button. And then they were talking about, I heard the news media say, as they were talking about this big plan for Iran, I actually heard one of the talking anchor heads or reporterette say, this sure does look like Armageddon, doesn't it? Then you got to go back to people that say, well, if we stack the corpses up high enough, Jesus will return. If we knock down every tree on earth, Jesus will return. They think they are in charge. They think they are. They don't think they're Christians. They think they're God. They think they can force the little God.
Compel the behavior of the Almighty with their own actions. Yeah, that's.
They think they can force.
That's psychotic. Okay, I mean that.
I know it is.
That's where we've come to.
And then take a look at that freaked out little man that this guy who lost it in the Hanoi Hilton, apparently, who's willing to go ahead and embrace the very people that want to destroy the world just so he can be president. Because his legacy, even if there's nobody left to read it, is more important to him than anything he's ever believed in his life. And I'm talking about John McCain. These people,
yeah,
are
because of what he did, and the video's there at alternet.org. You can watch the video of McCain when he was asked point blank about Jerry Falwell was an agent of intolerance, and he said, "No, I don't."
Or Crooks and Liars, or go up there to just type in Meet the Press at Google, and they'll bring you right to it.
Well, sure, absolutely. This is McCain's response, as reported at Alternet. I believe that the Christian right has a major role to play in the Republican Party. One reason is because they're so active and their followers are. And I believe they have a right to be a part of our party. I don't have to agree with everything they stand for, nor do I have to agree with everything that's on the liberal side of the Republican Party. See, this guy's a liar, okay? He's not just a weasel. He's a liar. There is no liberal side of the Republican Party, okay,
no,
Rick?
There isn't. And he'll say anything. I mean, Guy James said it best today. He exposed himself, and he thanked God. Guy James thanked God that this went on, because McCain is useless now. Any Democrat that would vote for that guy, we should vote for Bush first, because that's what you're getting. That's what you're getting. You're getting a sellout like Biden, like Lieberman,
like all these DLCs, or, you know, all these people, with the exception of our man Dean, and he's come a long way since he was governor for Vermont, let me tell you.
Well, look at this simple remark by John McCain, Rick, really, really does expose what a Machiavellian little piece of trash he is, because he says they have a major role to, talking about the religion industry. Uh-huh. They have a major role to play in the Republican Party. One reason is because they're so active and their followers are. Just stop and think about that for a minute. That statement, all by its lonesome self, tells you what a manipulative little punk he is. Because if that is the standard for being active in the party, and you can just play search and replace,
go along lockstep zombie.
They have a major role to play in I believe the Klan has a major role to play in the Republican Party. One reason is because they're so active and their followers are. If having a major role in the Republican Party, the only requirement for having that major role is to be active and have active followers.
That's right.
I mean,
that's right. It is that kind of piddling thing. They have lost their respect for America. They have lost the love and the reverence for the Constitution of the United States. They have decided that those who have bled on the battlefield and died for this here republic have no, they're not going to give them any quarter. They have no kind of strength at all. The only thing that matters is winning. And that was one of the things we were trying to discuss that night when we had the front porch, is that there is more at stake than winning. It's how you play the game. And people should have a right as American citizens to vote for who they want to and have a fair shot at the vote.
Yeah, but Rick, if you,
like cats into a certain voting booth to behave and pull a certain level and do, and then walk.
But if you, but Rick, if you, in, if you enable the side that is doing evil, then the rest of us have the right to call BS on that too.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. But we got to play the game clean, because otherwise there's no hope. There's no hope for the people that want back. There is so many Republicans out there that want back into something that is America. They want back. They feel bad. And there's so many Democrats called the Reagan voters. They want back. They feel bad. Now, personally speaking, I don't feel bad about a single vote I ever made, because I couldn't vote for either one because it was all jive. But give me a candidate, a real live Democratic candidate, and I'll vote for him in a heartbeat, because I'm a Democrat at heart. But don't feed me jive, Bin Laden, Joe Biden.
Bin Biden.
Yeah, Bin Biden and the Liebermans and all these other freaks. They're all about just trying to take me for another ride. My country's at stake. Your country, our country's at stake. They're trying to destroy our Constitution. They're trying to put a wall around us and imprison us as if we're Chinese, for God's sakes. They're selling our jobs to third world countries and trying to turn around and tell us it's immigration reform. I mean, for Pete's sakes, America, get a grip. Face it. You've got to make the hard choices. And the hard choices is give yourself something to vote for. Give the others that have strayed away something to vote for. Real, honest Americans who believe in the Constitution in a democratic way. And we'll get them all back. We'll get them all back. But if you try to mix it up like they're mixing up, you're going down the same path.
Well, some, no,
it's
some,
Dante's Inferno.
It depends, Rick. It depends on how you're characterizing things. If you're saying that we got to do it clean, and by that, you know,
no, I want it clean, by God.
I want it so clean. Clean is not black boxes in voting booths.
That's right. It's not. I don't mean clean. Go along, march in lockstep, and be zombies. You fight every step of the way, because that's the only way you're going to get it back. You've got to fight for clean voting. You want a paper ballot. You want to get rid of electronic voting, and you want to make sure that the people that you're voting for are truly what you stand for, real Democrats. And the way you do that is by having the guts to run people that will be that. Now, admittedly, it's late in the game.
And everybody's talking about, well, we've got to take these guys or we're going to lose. That may be true. I just don't know. I hope to God it ain't. I hope to God it ain't. But if that's what we're going to get at the end with the 2006, just what?
Well, you're going to in November 2006, Rick, make no bones about it. In November 2006, you are going to have a choice between a Democrat candidate and a Republican candidate. Without fail, I will say this in any state in the union, with the possible exception of Connecticut and Nebraska, and if he's running in Delaware.
The Democrat
will always be better than the Republican.
Yes, they'll always be better, and that's true. But I will tell you this much. We are going to have the weakest majority in the world with Lieberman and Biden and a few others.
Well, that's why I'm glad Ned Lamont's running in Connecticut. I wish to God somebody was, and, you know, we've got listeners in Nebraska. Did anybody register to run in the primary against Ben Nelson? I don't know.
Ben Nelson, there's a guy. You email him, he sends you, no matter what, you could pour your heart out to Ben Nelson, and he'd turn around and tell you, send you one of those automatic replies. Thank you so much for your email. You never hear.
No, it's worse than that. His announcement of his campaign a couple of weeks ago.
Just because.
I don't know. Maybe it wasn't even in the announcement of his campaign, but Rick, he was talking about the way he runs and the way he thinks politics ought to be. Mm-hmm. And he said he holds in disdain those who put party and politics above this nation. And he wasn't talking about Republicans. There is one party that is guilty of putting party and politics above the love of this country, and that is the Republican Party.
That's right.
Ben Nelson could not be counted on to stand with the people of the United States. He stood with the Republican Party in the Alito debate. So what he's trying to do is he's trying to cozy up. He's cozying up with the Republicans.
Astronaut does not mean smart. Okay?
Well,
it doesn't mean.
I'm not talking about Bill Nelson. I'm not talking about Bill Nelson of Florida. I'm talking about Ben Nelson of Nebraska.
Apollo 13 and watch how those guys kissed up. They lied and they had all kinds of things going up in their life. Just go ahead and watch that old movie again, and you'll find out that astronauts were just brave Americans who decided to shoot up into space and ride 7 Gs eventually to the moon. But that does not make them honorable men. It makes them brave men. And that's what we as a party have to be able to distinguish between brave and honorable.
And we are going to have one choice in November.
Yes, we are.
That's the sad fact.
But I guarantee you, if for all the people up there in Connecticut and Delaware and all that, you go ahead and put those bags of bones back in if that's what it takes to be able to at least have a check and balance in this Congress for this presidency. But I guarantee you it's going to be a weak check and balance because they are bought, they are paid for.
Well,
they want to be able to take your children's lives away.
Rick, if we had a 98-2 majority in the Senate of the United States, every vote would be 97-3 because Joe Lieberman would be voting with the Republicans.
That's right.
Okay.
I just don't want anybody to forget that. I don't want anybody to forget who our enemies are. Back in the days of Auschwitz and other places, Birkenau, they called these guys capos. They sided with the Nazis. They were Jewish people, and they got a little few extra gifts, a couple of pounds,
I know. Yeah, Sonderkommandos.
Right.
Yeah, I know. Hey Rick, we got to go, brother.
Capos.
Yeah, we're out of time, pal.
Thank you so much. I love you all.
Later.
You. Bye.
Bye now. And Agnes,
Fallen is Babylon the Great. It has become a dwelling place of demons. Revelation 18. Wouldn't hurt you to look it over.
And what happened to Babylon?
Thou mighty city, in 1 hour hast thy mighty judgment come, and the light of a single lamp shall shine in thee no more.
And there are people all over America saying, yes, that's right.
But Bob, what do we have to do?
I'm the hand of Mona Lisa's skirt. I'm a surprise. They don't see me coming. That's what you're missing.
Let's take a break. Can you get some music going, dear? This is Head On. Now, if you want to get involved in the program, you're welcome to. 877, the number 4, Head On. 877-443-2366. bob@headonradio.com is the email. And our pal James has written in. He says maybe we need a Goodbye George candy bar. He recalls the O. Henry candy bar. Yeah, Goodbye George. I like that. This is Head On.
Head On.
This is Bruce Birch, and if you missed my show Sunday night, here's what I got up to.
A group of U.S. businessmen in the UAE said they will invite the Oprah Winfrey Show and other talk shows to the Gulf to change American public opinion, which has helped block Dubai's takeover of six U.S. ports. He's saying that they want to reach out to the average guy in the United States and explain why the UAE is important. If you want to reach out to the average guy in the United States, they need to send something, not Oprah. I mean, how many average guys do you know watch Oprah? I don't. If they want to reach out to the average guy in the United States, as much as I hate to say it, they need to send Jerry Springer and the Jerry Springer Show over there with the bald guy. You know, maybe they can do a UAE version of My Grandmother Is Also My Lover or something like that. Oh, that's just a...
Join me, Bruce Birch, for All Things Reconsidered every Sunday evening, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, allthingsreconsidered.org.
You know, the president came out and talked about the Iraq war and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Thank you for calling the Smoking Cessation Patch Line. Your call may be recorded for quality assurance purposes. If you have an emergency, please hang up and call your doctor, hospital emergency room, or poison control center. After your emergency is handled, please call us back. If you do not have an emergency, stay on the line and we'll be with you just as soon as possible.
It's Oxycontin Free Radio. Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Yeah, crazy is the new sane. 27 minutes before the hour as we wind down this Monday night edition of Head On. I'm Jones and Bob Kincaid. And, I don't know. I'm thinking, well, you know, what do they sell? Liquid Band-Aid now? It's freaking super glue for your scratches and cuts? I'm super gluing the damn patch on, okay? There's a stream of insanity running. Have you followed this thing with Cynthia McKinney? Who is a fine congresswoman from Georgia. She apparently, when you're part of the club, when you're a member of the House or something, in lieu of teaching you the high sign and the secret handshake, they give you a little button you have to wear so that the Capitol Police can go look at the distance. Oh, yeah, okay, member of Congress, go on through.
Cynthia McKinney forgot her button. So the Capitol Police stop her because, after all, you know, it's a black woman here in the Capitol. She ain't got a button on. I mean, you can't just let, you know, all those people in here. Of course not. That would be dangerous, you know, especially those people. You can't just let them go wandering around the willy-nilly. The God only knows what might happen. I mean, anything could go on.
You see everything. You see the big board.
But so she didn't have her button on, so the Capitol Police stopped her, trying to get to her office or whatever. And I guess by published reports, she lost her temper or some such and whacked the Capitol Hill police dude with her cell phone. And so they want to arrest her. Now, Bruce Birch mentioned the constitutional provision about not just running around and arresting members of Congress. She says it was a misunderstanding. I say that when you go, I don't care who you are, you know, this is not whack-a-mole at Chuck E. Cheese. I don't care who you don't play whack-a-cop. Especially if you're an African American, you don't play whack-a-cop. Because then they play Rodney King with you. And the next thing you know, Mark Furman's on the stand and says, "No, I never used that word." So, you know, I mean, time will tell in this thing. But it's the same thing that it's same crap, different day, isn't it? Because routinely, the urge of the disempowered or the minority is sometimes toward using some level of violence. And God, I'm all over that, and I can understand it. But I know, on an a priori basis, I know what happens when you use that violence. The money, the power, likes for the broke and the unempowered to use violence, because then you get to break them like a chicken's neck. And they'll use every dirty tactic under the sun to get you to do it. Our good friend Ben Birch made an astute observation over at Democratic Underground. If Congresswoman McKinney whacked the cop, she's wrong. Now, I don't run around. I'm a law-abiding guy, not because the cops are out there. I'm a law-abiding guy because I choose to abide by the law. And that is the nature of virtually any human being in this country. We are not made law-abiding by fear. We are made law-abiding because we are decent human beings. But the fact of the matter is, as long as you have a culture where there are peace officers, if you will, there are generally going to be laws that say, you can't hit them. I don't care if it's a cell phone or a ball bat. You can't play whack-a-cop. And this, I'm in my heart of hearts, I think that there was something profoundly trumped up about all of it. Because it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Cynthia McKinney? Just whacking a Capitol policeman with her cell phone? That makes no... Something's wrong. Something doesn't add up. And it's just, you know, it's further indicia of the level of insanity, absolute insanity that is running through our culture. Look at, from time to time I get these things from the right wing. And one of them recently was, I got to find it now. Dadgummit, it's in the stack. From our good friends at Newsmax, you know, just like World Met Daily, saying that there's a new biography out on Laura Bush, and therefore, and the what do they refer to them as? The Hillary Clinton people. I have no idea what that means, the Hillary Clinton people. And the Hillary Clinton magazine, otherwise known as Vanity Fair, is already attacking this book because Laura Bush is pulling the veneer off of Hillary's status as first lady. Huh? I mean, I'm jonesing and everything, but for God's sakes, I'm not that bad off. What? Oh, I got to see if I can find this for you. We're headed straight to the phones in a second, but you, come on. Oh, there, yeah. There it is. A new book by best-selling author, not going to give this person's name or the title of the book, has Hillary Clinton supporters hopping mad. You know, you notice how they use the language to always make it sound like the Democrats are just, we're just running around out there just screaming and tearing at our hair? Hopping mad as it strips off the veneer of Senator Clinton's image as First Lady. The book hadn't even hit bookstores when pro-Clinton magazine Vanity Fair did a preemptive strike on the... Preemptive strike? They flew jets? Attacking it as a Valentine to Mrs. Bush with what Vanity Fair claimed were fluffball quotes and dubious factoids. Oh, my God. The book reveals that the Clintons had treated Secret Service agents and household help with disdain and made few attempts to engage them in friendly conversation. Oh, yeah, because the Bushes are all about friendly conversation. Do you remember way the hell back when George Bush went on his first 4th of July outing and he went to Philadelphia and somebody shook his hands or shook his hand in the line and said, "You are a terrible president." And George Bush replied, "Who gives a F what you think?" I'm a member of the White House staff. I'm staying as far away from those people as I possibly can. I mean, this is a guy who, back when he was a drunk, drove his car through the plate glass window in the house when Laura said that his speech wasn't, you know, well, not so much, you know. Crazy. Let's go to the phones. Wayne's with us. Hey, Wayne, you're head on.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I'm all right.
All right. Tuned in late, you know, union meeting night.
Okay, yeah.
Union meeting night.
Yay!
Yeah, I think so. You know.
Right.
You know, I mean, the first Monday every month's my prayer meeting night.
That's right. You know, doing the work of the angels.
Why, thank you. But listen, I heard, when I came in, you and Rick talking about my good friend from Connecticut, Joe?
Yeah, your buddy.
Yeah. I got a letter today from my new best friend from Connecticut, Ned Lamont.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How's Ned?
For my $50.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of money, but I thought it was a real good deal. I mean, it's just, like, I consider it my personally telling Joe, you know, like, you're all done, man.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really thoroughly disgusted with you. It's worth $50. What can I say? You know, maybe we could start a thing here. But, so, I just wanted to tell you that, man.
Well, cool. That's wonderful. You know, and you know, that says they appreciate your effort because, you know, they took your $50 and they turned it into a $49.61 donation because they had to spend money on the stamp.
Oh, yeah, and can you imagine how many more letters I'm going to get?
Oh, you're a few.
Oh, yeah, I'm telling you, you know.
You know, next thing, yeah, it'll, yeah. You're gonna be hearing a lot from your buddy Ned.
But listen, that was Rick from Florida.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. He had a lot of good things to say.
He usually does.
Yeah, he did. I agree with a lot of things. And I think we could do that. You know, there are now people openly saying the Democrats will take back the House. And that gives us all the golden opportunity to do exactly what you have been proposing when we win. Then we can really hold them accountable.
Yeah.
Because why are you against impeachment? There is, you know what I mean?
Oh, I know exactly what you mean. It becomes real. That's when the rubber meets the road, because then we get to ask the hard questions. We put you in power to do something, and the something we put you in power to do was to save us from these SOBs in the White House.
There you go. And when we win, we could tell them, you can no longer say you ain't got the power.
Yeah, you've got it. We gave it to you.
You don't have any excuses now. And I think that would be exciting.
Oh, I think it would be wonderful. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too, and I'm going to work to see that that happens.
Right. I mean, everybody can.
Yeah.
You know, wouldn't it be wonderful after the primary, after, you know, whether it's Richie Robb or Mike Callahan, wouldn't it be wonderful after the primary if people could just pour money into their campaigns to get rid of Arch Moore in a bad wig?
Yeah.
That awful Capitol woman?
No, you know, no matter who it is, see, because that's where probably me, I'll tell you, I mean, I was impressed with what I heard from Rick.
Yeah.
Those are very good things, you know. But if it comes down to the end where you have to do something to make a lean towards the chain, well, you got to do that. I mean, it's the same thing with if I will do everything to convince people that Hillary Clinton shouldn't be the candidate, but if in fact she is.
I'm voting for her.
And I am too, brother.
Because, I mean,
it's a beginning. It's something I could work with.
Well,
Wayne,
run through the list. Who could the Republicans put up that would be better than Hillary Clinton?
No one.
Giuliani? Giuliani's better than Hillary?
Oh, yeah. There's a real honorable guy. Who was that? Who was that crooked cop or what?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know.
Homeland Security?
Yeah, with the shaved head and the mob connections.
I'll
yeah.
tell you, Randy Rhoads, that's funny. I watched it last night, The Godfather. In fact, I'm missing part two right now.
Oh, that's no good.
I just realized, yeah. Randy Rhoads was right. Watch the movie. Well, Government 101.
The Bush Administration 101.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, would Bill Herman Munster want to be frisked? I mean, this guy's going to be a better president than Hillary Clinton?
Right.
I mean, John McCain? John McCain who goes and makes kissy face
Did
with Jerry Falwell?
Did you see that yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
I almost felt bad for him.
Well,
come on, man. Give it up, John. I mean, he made I don't know. You've said it, and I've said it before, too, and that's why we agree. I mean, he lost it when he let them people do to his wife and children what they did to him.
If you'll let somebody...
And then he turned around and supported them. I lost all respect for the man.
Yeah, if you'll let somebody smear your family...
Yes.
What else will you let people do?
And that was addressed yesterday on Russert. And what did he say?
Oh,
Governor or Senator McCain.
Yeah, I know.
He said that wasn't George Bush doing that.
I know. No, that was campaign.
You know, the people that work for him. Oh, okay, John. You know, like, give me a break.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
it's all done.
I quit believing that kind of stuff about the time I found out, you know, that the whole they found me under the cabbage leaf wasn't exactly on the square.
There you go. I mean, I thought, well, you know, that was sad yesterday, I think.
Well, it was, and that's what I was talking with Rick about, this line that he had about the religious right. You know,
I don't agree with everything.
Yeah, but one reason they have a major role to play in the Republican Party is because they're so active and their followers are. I know lots of groups that are active and their followers are. I wouldn't want them in my party, and I wouldn't allow it. You know, like I said, the Klan, they're very active, and they have a lot of followers.
Yes.
If we're to believe the federal government, you know, Al-Qaeda is very active, and they have a lot of followers. Well, under the way that McCain lays it out...
Well, that depends on what department of the federal government you talk to.
Well, I know.
You know, some are very active, others, they're on their last throw.
Yeah, dead-enders.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, dead-enders.
You know, yeah.
But, you know, if that's the only rule for becoming an active, an important part of the Republican Party is you got a lot of followers, that doesn't bode well for the Republican Party.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to agree with everything they stand for, nor do I have to agree with everything that's on the liberal side of the Republican Party. You know, I understand politics, and there's going to be some fudging up of the facts, but don't try to pretend that there's a liberal wing of the Republican Party.
Right. And besides that, it's my turn.
God.
Right?
Well,
am
yeah,
I
that
right?
is, no, sure.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, wrong.
Yeah, it's my turn now. I get to be president.
Well, remember we talked to that. I don't know if I could say that. Remember we were talking about that dinosaur show the other night. You know?
Yeah.
Maybe it's time for the tar pit. You know, but not president. We might consider something different.
Yeah,
but definitely not president.
John McCain, Secretary of Veterans Affairs, has a nice ring to it.
I like that. I'd vote for that.
But nothing where he has access to being able to do any damage to anybody.
No.
You know, if we have to agree on every issue,
really,
we're not a Republican party.
I mean, that would be a good thing, see, because if you made him head of that, then that would be therapy, too, for him. And he definitely needs therapy.
Oh, God.
You know, so.
And a bunch of it.
You know, you'd get two hits for one, you know.
I love this. I believe
it. Good idea, Bob.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very kindly.
The guy's a war hero.
Yeah.
He deserves to be taken care of like everybody else, but he should kind of get out of politics. That's what I think.
Get out of the way in Arizona. Lead follower, get out of the way, and he's certainly not leading.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll put up some high school, statues in front of high school.
Yeah, McCain High School. Cool. You know, enjoy your golden years, John.
There you go. There you go, buddy.
Yeah, and I mean, the Tom Tancredo, that creepy little congressman from Colorado, he has said that if they won't pass his criminalize the immigrants bill, that he will run for president just to get the issue out there. So, I mean, you know, and he's going to be...
I think it'd be a lot more fun to watch him hold his breath, don't you?
Yeah, maybe with a little help from some duct tape. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just awful.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know.
We're
just mean, us liberals.
The doorbells will probably be ringing short.
It was a joke, Agent.
Federal
Ray.
Agents, yeah.
No, they'll just...
What are you going to do?
I'm going to vote if she is. I'm going to bust my ass to make sure she's not the nominee.
Who's that?
Hillary.
Oh, me too.
In 08.
Oh, God. No, I'm sorry. That, you know, we don't need any more of them people. They could help if they want.
Yeah.
You know, they've got friends and they got phone lists we could use and stuff. And why don't we all work together?
But, I mean, there are two people that I really don't want to. There are two people I just.
Think of what a conspiracy. We can involve Hillary in this conspiracy. Keep going like you're going and all that. And then
right before the filing deadline.
Say, I never intended on running anyway. Rush, which just goes to prove that Rush Limbaugh is full of what I won't say.
Yeah, that'd make Rush like 0-3, right?
Yeah.
He's been predicting she was going to run for president since 1998.
There you go.
And
it's a good plan.
Oh, I think it may.
Go for it.
That may be it. You know, the thing is, though, there's more than Hillary to worry about. Because the other, outside...
Certainly not Bill.
No.
No.
John Kerry. He thinks he's going to be the nominee in 08. He still thinks he's a viable candidate.
Yeah.
And, and again, we nominate John Kerry. I'll vote for John Kerry, because what Republican out there is better than John Kerry?
Yeah, that's a very valid point as far as I'm concerned, Bob. Now, I'm sure there are some people that would disagree with me.
Well, I'm sure there are people that...
But call up and talk. That's what it...
Yeah, but I mean, I'm sure there are people that disagree with me on that, too. And that, believe me, that's enough to bring up my Salisbury steak just thinking about it. But it is true. There is not a single human being who is going to have the Republican nomination or has a chance of having the Republican nomination in 08, Wayne, that is any better than the worst human being we could offer up. And that says a mouthful.
I'm trying to think of how I could possibly disagree with you, Bob, but I can't. I can't come up with one.
I mean, we've got Al Gore. He says he won't run in 08. Al Gore would make a wonderful candidate in 08.
I think he would, too.
Howard Dean says he won't run in 08. He'd make a wonderful candidate in 08.
And even Rick agrees he's matured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So, I don't see the problem. I would like to have a real live, honest to God, progressive, unabashed, absolutely no back down in him, progressive liberal. Somebody go dig up FDR, okay?
Right.
I'd like to have that running for president in 2008, because we're coming to a point where we're damn well going to have one of those. Because those are the only people who ever saved this nation. Coolidge did not save America after World War One. Coolidge made it worse.
We have so many. When you say that you know they couldn't put up anybody that would be better. Think of the team that we could be built if all these people with the Kuciniches and you know we have some very very good people.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we ought to start running a slate.
Yeah, no kidding.
What do you think?
I like that.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea. Now. Not a bad idea at all. Because there's going to be some fixing to do. There was something Agnes saw on the internet today. It was some artist's rendering of $1 million bill.
Yeah.
You know what $1 million bill would look at like, and it had the Statue of Liberty's face or Statue of Liberty in it. And we were just talking, you know, just the idle banter we have here in the studio. And I said, honey, that's $1 million bill. You know how many of those it would take to make $1 billion?
Duh.
1,000. You know how many billions it would take to make a trillion? 1,000 of them. So a trillion, of which we have 9 in our deficit, is 9,000,000,000. Bring
Wait
that.
A minute, you're the guy that's not supposed to be so good at math.
I know, and I'm probably screwed up already. But when you stop and you think about numbers like that, yeah, it's going to take a real, live, honest to goodness, liberal, progressive, I don't care what you call him, as long as you don't call him a damn conservative Republican, to fix the mess that the conservative Republicans have put this country in. 9,000,000,000.
Do you realize that these people they certainly seem to be perfectly willing to let General Motors die?
Yeah. Oh, it's a free market, Wayne. You know, you got to understand that free market economics mean that, if a company's not viable, it's got to go.
You know, my argument is, you know, well, somebody's trying to call me. What about the security of the homeland that these people, fascists, like to call it?
I know.
You know.
But if they can figure out a way to make a buck out of it, homeland security is not so important anymore.
We got General Motors.
Yeah.
That's tough, pal.
Yeah, that's and just the
we don't have any heavy industry left.
Yeah, who was it built those Sherman tanks during World War II? Was that China that built those for us?
No, Toyota.
Oh, okay, yeah. Wait a minute.
Ours, you mean?
Yeah, yeah, ours. Yeah, not the Japanese tanks.
No, ours were the Toyota guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it was General Motors. It was Ford. It was...
all that's gone.
We
think,
could
well,
not...
That's frightening to me.
Yeah, we can build jets, but we can't build tanks.
Right.
I mean, we proved with the Iraq War that we cannot turn out the Humvees, you know, the modern equivalent of the Jeep. We can't do that efficiently anymore for a little dust-up in Mesopotamia.
We can't do that because we count on too many other people to provide the materials and parts for them. Probably.
Right, and they only do that because of our debt. We get ourselves in a real shooting match. They're not going to be interested in the debt because they know we're not going to be able to pay it back.
How did we get this so far, how did we get this far?
I wish to God I knew. I mean,
we're just barely out of the end of year one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, year one of the second Bush administration just ended.
Yeah.
Be afraid, America. Be very afraid.
Be very afraid.
Hey, Wayne, we're out of time, brother.
All right, man. Good talking to you.
Good talking to you, too.
Bye.
Later. That's it for tonight. Agnes did a lovely job of keeping me from completely losing my mind and producing the show at the same time, I might add. Brian Reznor announces for us, our engineers Randy Kerbway, Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. He manages the stream of this program as well as the streams of all the programs of the Head On Radio Network and archives this program, the other Horn programs, as well as several other wonderful liberal